The Morning Invasion with Dex and Steve-O.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
You are now ready to start
on Star 88.
It's Thursday.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Beautiful morning, isn't it?
Still a bit early.
When are you going to wake up?
Stay calm.
Okay.
You stay here and relax. Mm-hmm. No need for us to freak out.
It's cool, bro. I'm woke.
We throw a curveball joke at you, hit you right in the head. You go, wow, what happened?
I'm waiting anxiously for what happens next.
They're America's dream couple.
You need to calm down. We're in a workplace.
It's cool, bro. I'm woke.
You like fake barf?
Yes.
Then come with me.
Yay.
This radio show's beginning to begin at the beginning.
Right here.
Right here.
Right now.
Right now.
Here we go. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Showtime.
Morning. I'm feeling this.
You don't tell me how to feel. You know what? I feel you.
That like beat matched. You didn't even mean to.
No, I did. I did. 6:09. Good morning,
dude. That's a jam.
It's pretty good, right?
It is. It looks beautiful outside, by the way. Although the high today is going to be 75 degrees.
Rain? Any rain today?
Cloudy.
Okay. All right.
It's going to clear out, though, by Friday, although over the weekend it's supposed to be really cloudy.
Don't leave. Don't ever
leave. Just want it to rain.
Me too.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Dex, Steve-O, that's us.
Oh, are we in the zone today?
Yeah, I guess.
Is the show going to be good today?
Don't say that.
Oh.
No, it's not. Just kidding. It's going to be great. It's always great. Come on, man. 505-585-LIVE if you want to text us. 585-5483. You can always call us at 338-3700. We are on the app. You can download that in the App Store, Star 88 FM. Download it to your smartphones, and you can stream us live. You can get the podcast. Usually three hours of the morning show, yeah. Minus the music. You can watch us in the studio, Star88.fm. There's lots of ways you can listen.
I mean, think about this, guys. We do this show 4 hours every single day. So there's a good chance you miss some funny.
Yeah, we usually have a lot to talk about.
We do.
We usually talk about some very serious issues.
You know? Oh, man, serious.
Very serious.
Issues.
Very serious show.
Very.
We have here.
Very serious.
Mother's Day is right around the corner.
So serious.
Moms are so serious.
So serious all the time.
So we'll talk Mother's Day stuff. You want to try to track down your mom this morning?
Oh, man.
Or should we try to call them both tomorrow?
I mean.
What do you want to do?
Either way.
Just can't forget, okay?
Yeah.
Can't forget.
So
it's
much
something
pressure.
We do. It's something we do.
So much pressure.
We won't forget.
Okay.
If we have time, maybe we'll track one of them down, but maybe we'll just do it tomorrow.
Okay.
Let's see. We got a big show, 9 a.m. We have Shock Therapy Live. It's back.
Dude.
If you didn't know, maybe you don't even know what that is. This used to be a show that was on for, what, 4 or 5 years?
It was on for a while, yeah.
It was you and Pastor Nate Heitzig for many years.
Yep.
And it actually used to be on Sunday nights, right?
Yeah, started off on Sunday nights and moved it over it used to be Wednesday mornings after that. Moved it over to Wednesday mornings. And now here it lies in 2017.
Tell everybody what it is. What's that show all about?
Well, it got going because we wanted to be able to talk about things that nobody was talking about at church and, you know. Even just in normal conversation, a lot of people don't talk about the heavier issues because, you know, we want to have a good time, we want to kick it, and that's always fun to laugh and just enjoy each other's company. But it's also okay to sharpen each other and to question things from time to time. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of us as Christians find ourselves in a place where we don't have every answer. And whether it's legalization of marijuana, sex, drinking.
Stem cell research.
Yeah, dude, seriously. We just engage in conversation.
Homosexuality.
Yeah, we kick it. We talk about it. What does the Bible have to say? How do I respond to that? as a Christian in the year 2017.
Transgender.
Yeah. Everything.
So, man, there's a lot of hot topics right now.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, we discuss all those things that normally Christian stations or Christians just don't really
talk
about.
They kind of steer away from because it's like, let's just be happy. Just feel joy.
You know what I can't stand?
Only good stuff.
And we kind of grew up with this in the churches that we attended when we were growing up. But, and I'm sure there's people still that have to deal with this at church. I know there is, in fact. You can't ask certain questions or you're scared of either getting kicked out of church.
Right.
Labeled in particular. Made fun of.
Yeah. No, for real.
It happens.
It's ridiculous.
It happened to me when I was younger. Oh, you can't ask that. No, you cannot ask. Come on. Why can't I ask that? It's crazy, man. Mm-hmm. So that's why we do the show, Shock Therapy Live. It starts at 9 a.m. It's an hour. And we ask for your questions. You can text them in at 585-LIVE or email us, studio@star88.fm. We already got a few that we're going to tackle, but send them in.
Yeah, for
anything
real.
Anything you guys want to discuss, we will open it up. I remember last week we got a text about, well, I don't know if we should talk about it right now.
I know.
Yeah, it's kind of early.
The marriage bed.
Yeah.
And positions.
Yeah.
And
I mean, but those are things that we can discuss in a way. And so, I don't know. It'll be great. It'll be fun.
Yep.
It'll be fun. We have a letter coming up later on in the show. Do women who don't have kids, just pets, get to celebrate Mother's Day?
Oh, gosh, dude. You are about to open a really awful can of worms.
Yeah, a brother found out that his sister, who isn't a mom but has pets, is celebrating Mother's Day. And he wants to know if this is normal because, well, he thinks his sister's stupid. We'll talk about it coming up.
Shout out to a Starman member who just chimed in and said, dude, this is so weird. I can't believe I'm awake. I don't usually wake up until 9, and I miss most of the show. Now I get to listen to the whole show at one time. Cray, cray!
No way!
It's like I'm in a whole other country.
That's great, guys. That's great.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Stoked for you to be here.
Yeah, yesterday I made the mistake of thinking that Rob Thomas from the Dream Center would be in. He's in today. He'll be on the show at 7:30. I'm almost 100% sure.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, I think. Also, I've been making a list.
Checking it twice.
The list is titled, What I Miss About My Mom.
Oh, man.
And so all week I've been kind of...
sure we want to do that?
I've been kind of thinking about all the things that I miss about being home with my mom. And I'm working on a... I don't want to spoil it if she's listening.
Yeah, don't do it.
Working on a song.
Oh. I said don't do it.
I don't think she heard me.
Okay.
We'll see if I can get it done in time. I don't know. My vocals have been a little off lately. If we have time, postpartum depression. It's postpartum depression month. Awareness month. And that's something people don't talk about. That's actually a pretty good topic of discussion for shock therapy. Because there's a lot of women that have postpartum depression.
Yeah.
While they're pregnant, after they're pregnant, the hormones are out of whack. And it's something that I didn't know about. When Leslie got pregnant, I had no idea what it was. My family didn't know what it was because they had never gone through it with anybody. And it's a tough thing, man. We read in the news all the time that, I mean, there's women that actually kill their babies because of postpartum depression.
Right.
Brooke Shields. Remember that story? How she wanted to kill her kids? So it's a real thing. So if we have time, there's this great story I found. This mom, she went viral for some Facebook photos that she posted. And it shows the realities of postpartum depression. There's a picture of her sitting down playing with her daughter, and she looks all happy, and it just looks like the perfect picture. And then she posts the same picture, but it's her just with postpartum depression, just ready to snap. I mean, it's awful. And so it kind of went viral because there's a lot of people that deal with this. So if we have time this morning, we'll discuss that. If not, we got all next week. I mean, it's Postpartum Depression Awareness Month. We'll talk baseball this morning.
What? I know. What?
I know. I can't believe we're going to talk baseball. We will. I found this interesting story this morning. I thought you would appreciate it, Steve-O. The headline is, there are more home runs than in the steroid era.
Wow.
But baseball insists the balls aren't juiced.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Talk about it. And we have to talk about this. There's a real possibility that Dwayne The Rock Johnson will run for president.
Oh, man.
Would you vote for President Rock? Would you vote for President Rock?
Only if I could call him The Rock Obama.
Ow! Oh, man. How crazy is that? Because he kind of threw it out there, I remember. Well, just a while back, and yeah, I don't think anybody took him serious. But now, I don't know, story just broke, and this could be a real thing.
Yeah.
Pandora's box has been opened. Celebrity presidents are now a thing. And I also pulled up a list of celebrities who've run for office in the past. There's been a ton of celebrities who tried to become president. So we'll see. I follow him on Instagram, and he is such an amazing guy.
Yeah.
He motivates, encourages. He's funny.
You know who I want to vote for instead, though? John Cena.
Do you think he'd run? Did he did he say he would?
John Cena. Might?
Okay.
John Cena for president.
No,
I want it to be John Cena versus The Rock for president, and it's decided at WrestleMania 35.
Ooh.
Like, that's how they do it. No more voting. Like, we vote, and then it comes down to the top two contenders, right? And then they fight at WrestleMania.
Here's what would happen. The Rock would win, and then he would make John Cena his vice president.
Oh, man. You can't VP! I'm going to go. That was terrible.
I charity left you. I really did. That was it.
Well, it's because it's slow. You know, it's like, you can't see me.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But like, VP, and it rhymed. It's pretty witty, actually, if you think about
it.
It's like,
I mean,
off the cuff.
I don't know about
By
that.
By the way, did you say that President Trump opened the door for celebrity presidents?
I mean, Pandora's box has been open. I mean, now that...
But wasn't it technically open when Ronald Reagan was the president, since he was an actor?
That was a long time ago.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying.
I mean, you're right, but...
In fact, they even joke about it in Back to the Future, because it seems so improbable that the actor is the president.
Yeah, that's true. Did they... I wonder at that time, maybe people like Bill Peterson can chime in with this, because they could remember. At that time when Ronald Reagan announced that he was going to run, were people laughing at that? Were they freaking out that here's this actor who is going to run for president?
I'm going to look it up.
I guess it's pretty easy just to, you know.
Google it.
Well, I mean, obviously he was in politics before just deciding to run for president.
Was he?
Okay.
Was Donald Trump? Not really, no. He's a real estate mogul, come on.
Yeah, I know, but... Anyways. Before his presidency, he was the 33rd governor of California from 1967 to 1975. So I would say...
Fake news.
I would say...
Fake news.
Considering he was the governor of California for 8 years before he decided to run for president, that obviously they took him a little more
Google
serious.
It!
But again... We've had Arnold Schwarzenegger as the governor of California.
Yeah.
So.
That's true. That's true.
Dude, our boy Steve Pierce, who just kind of randomly drops in, there's a whisper yesterday on the interwebs that he could be thinking about running for governor.
No kidding.
Yeah. I was like, what?
I am down with that 100%.
We are friends.
He's such a good dude.
Do you think if he becomes governor, he'll still just drop into the studio?
I would hope so.
That'd be really legit.
Although, I thought Mary Bear and I were pretty close. He doesn't return any of my text messages.
Okay. He's the mayor, bro. He's got a lot on his plate.
Yeah, I get that. I get that.
A lot on his plate.
All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll do some headlines, find out what's happening around the world. We'll do some traffic. 585 Live, if you want to text us. Good morning, Starman. We'll be right back.
Hey! What's going on in the news today?
Trump-Lavrov talks marked the highest level face-to-face contact with Russia of the Trump presidency.
Then spoke very briefly about the FBI director investigating Russian interference in the U.S. election.
He wasn't doing a good job, very simply. He was not doing a good job.
Officials at the Hanford Nuclear Waste Repository in southeastern Washington state are still monitoring a tunnel cave-in.
The study finds that black and white families in assisted or public housing now live in homes of comparable quality. Several decades ago, that was not the case. The latest study also finds that race alone does not seem to change the educational or economic outcomes of children in those homes.
Amazon's next new office building in its home city, Seattle, will include a homeless shelter, helping to address a housing crisis created in part by the online retailer's own growth. Its expanding workforce has helped push property prices beyond the reach of many working families.
The world-renowned Sydney Opera House in Australia has announced it will begin major renovations next week.
Wendy Burnett, a spokeswoman for the Georgia Forestry Commission, says the fire has already burned more than 140,000 acres.
Turkey says it's unacceptable for the U.S. to provide arms to Kurdish fighters in northern Syria.
This Saturday night, 7 p.m., Worship Night in America, Chris Tomlin presents. Big Daddy Wave going to be there, Phil Wickham, Zach Williams, Jason Barton, Mosaic MSC. Tickets and more info online, star88.fm/events. 6:32.
Today is 75 degrees. Yep.
Man, you just scarfed that damn.
I did, man. I did. It took Whataburger longer to make my biscuit than it did for me to eat it.
Mm.
Because it took him 73 minutes.
Put a lot of love in it, man. They put a lot of love in it.
Speaking of taking time, if you are traveling on I-40 westbound, you are going to be taking a long time to get to your destination. It is completely closed right now due to an accident. There was an accident involving two semi-rigs.
I saw that this morning.
Yeah. They're asking you to take Central to Atrisco Vista. If you're traveling I-40 west between 98th Street, that's exit 153, and Atrisco Vista, exit 149. Again, there are two semis on fire!
Wow.
So that is closed. So be very, very, very careful. And if you can avoid that area, please do so, because that doesn't sound good. No other accidents to report at this time. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic!
Today is Eat What You Want Day. You can eat whatever you want today, man.
Well, I did. I just ate breakfast.
For real.
And you did. I haven't eaten at that place in a very long time.
That was a very unhealthy breakfast.
It really was. Minus the orange juice.
Now, orange juice isn't good for you.
No, it's so good. So good for me.
It's packed full of sugar.
Okay.
Come on, man. It's terrible. Ugh. But you know what? It's Eat What You Want Day, so.
Yeah, I'm
whatever,
going to.
Man.
You're trying to judge me for eating what I want.
No
jalapeno cheddar
here.
Bacon biscuit, man.
Oh, goodness. Saw you eating that, and I was like, man, I should have got one.
I've never had one. I got suckered in by the photo.
No.
Like, I went to the drive-thru, and it was like...
It's the worst.
Ooh, what do I want? What? Jalapeno cheddar biscuit?
That's
the worst. Probably terrible. I'm getting it. Look at that photo. Took him 7 hours to make that photo. That looks good.
It never looks like the photo, though.
It tasted like the photo. Paper. That's what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, man. We have Shock Therapy paper. Live. It's back at 9 a.m. with Pastor Nate Heitzik. He'll be joining us in studio. We'll be answering your questions.
Mm.
We've been receiving a few from you, and we'll throw down.
Today we're going to be talking about the intricacies of the Anaheim Ducks versus the Nashville Predators.
Come on now.
I lost my mind last night because we beat Edmonton 2-1. We scored a goal in the third.
What sport is that you're talking
about?
That's
hockey.
I don't even know what that is.
Going to the conference finals against the Nashville Predators. So our boys, Ethan Luck.
I never heard
Tim
of
Skipper,
it.
Matt Lott. You may remember him as Teo.
I don't know what you're saying right now.
They all live out there and go to Nashville Predator games and root for them. But I'm a Ducks fan, and they're playing each other now. And I always root for Nashville because of my friends, and now I don't know what to do.
All right.
Yes, I do. Go
We're going to San Diego.
What?
What?
Miss you, San Diego.
Stop it.
Miss you. Go ahead, say it. Go ahead.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Yeah, you were. You were going to say something.
Just frustrating.
Guys, we'll talk about the possibility of Dwayne The Rock Johnson becoming the next president of the United States coming up here after 7.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm. Boom! You are nailing this!
Thank you. As we mentioned, there was a semi-collision that caused a massive fire along I-40 westbound, and it is completely closed, so you're going to want to steer away from that. But it made headlines this morning because, dude,
yeah,
it's crazy. This happened about late Wednesday night. Two semis collided, causing a massive fire along a busy stretch of I-40. So currently all westbound lanes of I-40 at 98th Street near Chisco Vista, totally closed. Some semis are parked along the side of I-40. What happens as a truck driver? Like, if something like that happens and you stall out? Because I've seen movies, man. Don't you have to make it within a certain time limit?
Yeah.
So do they just have to speed after that?
I don't know how that works.
I'm just saying.
No idea.
Several agencies responded to the crash, including APD, State Police, and Albuquerque Fire Department.
I wasn't paying attention. Did you say how it happened?
No. KRQE News 13 reached out to the APD, State Police, and AFD for information. But so far, all that is known is it started around 11 p.m. Wednesday night. State Police are also taking over the investigation.
Wow.
So it's unclear if anybody was hurt or injured. But again, all westbound lanes are shut down, and drivers are asked to seek an alternate route. I guess the semis could just seek the alternate route, right? And keep going.
Yeah, that's true.
If it's open for the semis.
Sure. I saw this video this morning. Oh my gosh, it was crazy. Let me see if I can find it real quick. There was this motorcyclist, and I think it's right here. He was just driving down the road, and it's just another day in China. It's just great. And he ran into a truck, and the motorcycle hit the fuel tank, and the whole front end of the truck caught fire. You got to see this. It's crazy. This guy's just cruising along, and then he barely hits it. Boom! So the truck driver jumps out, and the guy's on fire. And roll, buddy. You got to roll. You got to roll. Hopefully, he didn't really roll. Why do people forget that? I guess it's probably one of those situations where if you're on fire.
Stop.
I don't know. Maybe he couldn't. Maybe the brakes. I don't know. I'm not sure.
He didn't even slow down.
No, he didn't even slow down.
There was like a truck clearly in front of him, and he just.
Yeah, it was pretty weird. Whoa. Boom. Blows up. He's rolling around. The truck driver gets out and saves the guy's life.
That's incredible.
It was crazy. Just search for truck driver rescues motorcyclist after fiery crash in East China.
Okay.
You can watch the video, guys.
I'm sorry. Could you give that to me one more time?
Well, just search for truck driver rescues motorcyclist after fiery crash in East China. Search for that on YouTube. Okay.
Google it.
Moving on. I can't. New Mexico teacher is accused of giving students A's in exchange for back rubs.
Oh, man.
A 16-year-old girl who attends Gadsden High School in Anthony, New Mexico, claims her social studies teacher, Daniel Tenna, gave the option to either do a book work or massaging his back.
Unbelievable.
The student claims two girls chose to give him a massage and got A's in return. Now the girl's father is angry.
Yeah.
Quote, I know it may not have been in the private area, but it's still a teacher. somebody you should trust and not be rubbing their backs, he said.
Oh, my gosh.
Teacher has been placed on administrative leave.
I'm a father of a 13-year-old daughter, and I can't even imagine if I got word that
it's just a back rub, man.
A teacher was giving my daughter an A in exchange for back rubs.
Just a back rub.
It's not just a back rub.
Just a back rub.
No, it's not.
You know, you're a teacher, you get tense, man.
Okay.
You know?
What?
Social studies teacher. He's just teaching them social skills, man.
What is going through that teacher's mind?
He is crazy. I have no idea. I'm obviously joking for everybody that's probably getting upset at me.
What happened that you think you could get away with that? Oh, it's just a back rub, man. No big deal. You know?
Dude, he's on administrative leave right now.
Yeah.
By the way, our boy, Trucker, checking in.
No.
Everything now is on electronic logs. You know, we're talking about like how there's that crazy fire and the interstate shut down. So there's all these semis just parked. So the runs are dispatched with some leeway. Some loads are not allowed out of route. So they park and wait. They can only be on duty for 14 hours a day and only drive for 11 of those hours.
Oh, wow.
And then they have to have 10 hours off duty before they can start again. So
10-4, copy that.
10-4, good buddy. So he's going to have to just kick it. But that's better because I remember back in the day, you know, seeing stories and it was, you know, people falling asleep because they were trying to make it, trying to get the load
meth,
there. And
meth is like a big thing with truck drivers.
Yeah, because it keeps you awake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man, shout out to the
truck
drivers.
What about Cadbury cream eggs?
No.
No?
Because you crash after like 5 minutes.
That's true.
They taste so good at the beginning, though. You get that sugar rush.
Moving on, 79% of moms use at least one of these five phrases, and I can't wait. We should see if our moms do this.
I love my mama!
Here we go. A new survey out for Mother's Day had people read over a list of phrases moms use all the time with their kids and pick the one their mom used. 79% of people said their mom used at least one of these phrases.
Okay.
The top five most common momisms.
Momisms.
We're going to go 5-1.
Okay.
Number 5. You're stronger than you think you are.
You know what? I think my mom has told me that.
Joseph, you're stronger than you think you are.
My mom is a strong lady.
26% of all moms said that, apparently. Number 4. Sweetheart, I'm always here to listen. I am always here to listen.
Yep. Mom, you are always there for me.
28%. Number 3, Joseph. You'll always be my baby.
Oh, she says that all the time.
My mom says that all the time, too.
I'm the baby, and I'm her favorite.
Okay. Number 2, 40% of moms use this phrase. Sweetheart, don't worry. Everything will be okay.
I hear it every time I talk to my mom.
Yep.
It'll be okay.
I think what's hilarious is 5-2 are really sweet and like cheer you up ones. But the number one thing, according
talk
to the
me.
Survey that mom said, because I said so!
Oh. Mom... You used to say that to me all the time.
Dude.
All the time.
I'm shocked that only 43% of people said their mom used that at least once.
Yeah, and Leslie and I use that all the time,
too. Dude, because I said so?
Yeah.
That's my number one. Ugh. What's hilarious, that's my number one killer. Like, do not ever, 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 ever say that.
Right. It's one of those things after you say it, you go, oh, I just said that, and I sounded just like my parents.
Yep.
Ugh. It's like you can't help yourself because they've said it to you your whole life and it just kind of rubs off.
So I don't say because I said so because it always drove me crazy as a child. But I definitely have one of those phrases that I use regularly. I'll look at, like, if I'm telling them to do something and they don't want to do it, I look at them and I say, who am I?
No.
Who am I?
Oh.
Daddy. Cool. Do you do what dad says?
Wow.
Yeah. Cool. Have fun. Like, that's...
Cool.
It's all, that's what, like, if I'm about to break, that's usually the go-to
Who
line.
Am I? Who am I? Who is this?
And then they just have this defeated shoulders down, like,
you're right.
Daddy. Cool. Are you right? Daddy?
Who's okay, in cool. charge?
I just wanted to make sure. I just couldn't remember what my driver's license says. It says Daddy.
Who's the king?
You know what the funny thing is? Yesterday, Brody had to go to the dentist to get x-rays.
And, again?
Well, they were having trouble getting the back teeth, and he's got a cavity. Like, boom, and it's the back tooth. But he was kind of gagging because he couldn't get his mouth open enough, you know? So we went back in for x-rays, and I had to fill out this form because, you know, they wanted to work on the cavity. And it's like, name, Stephen Jeter, signature, relationship to parent or to patient. And I put this every time. Daddy.
Daddy.
I seriously do. And they're like, Daddy? I said, yeah, because father's weird.
Yeah.
And dad. Like, nobody says dad.
Yeah, my kids call me dad.
I always write daddy. Even with, like, Luke or Jack, like, any type of paperwork, relationship to child, relationship to daddy.
Yeah.
They're going to be 27 and still calling me daddy. And that's cool.
I think my daughter's the only one that calls me daddy.
Really?
Yeah. The other two call me Dex.
Oh.
Just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. Man, if they ever called me Dex, that would be the last time they ever called me Dex.
Brody called me Steve-O a couple times just because he realized that was my radio name. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's your name.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, but your name's Daddy. You know, and I'm like, right. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But I go by Steve-O on the, yes, that's okay.
So confusing.
You don't have to call me Steve-O. You can call me Daddy. It's okay. So, yeah.
Daddy. Dada.
Yeah, it's going to be weird when, if they ever don't call me Daddy. If they call me Dad.
Ugh. Yeah, it'll happen.
No.
I'm sure. Because Daddy's kind of weird.
Why is that weird?
I don't know. It's more of a girl thing.
Oh, really? I have three boys and they all call me Daddy.
It's kind of weird.
And if they call me Dad when I get home because you're an idiot and you just said this and they heard it, I'm going to shoot daggers through your soul until it's dead forever.
I will say that when Jaden calls me Dada or Daddy, it definitely does something to my heart.
Oh, yeah.
It feels good.
I'm in my 30s, and when I talk to my mom, I call her mama. Like, I don't call her
mama.
Mom.
Oh, I've heard you. Hey, every mama. Time we call her, hi, mama. I love you, mama. Every time. I love you, too.
It's my mom's, yo!
You're my most precious little peach.
Okay. She doesn't say that. Two more phrases. It just missed the top five for moms. This too shall pass. And oh, is that what you're wearing?
I love my mama.
That's more of a dad thing. Oh, is that what you're wearing?
Oh, dude. No.
Yeah, Jaden, she's already getting to that age where I've said that a couple times to her. Oh, no. You get back into your room and you change right now. Those shorts are too short. Come on. Let's go.
Man. A member of the Starmy chimed in and said that their mom has literally never said any of those phrases.
No kidding.
That's amazing.
I think my mom has said all of those. That's crazy.
Let's see.
I'd be curious to see if you would text back in, what do you remember? What phrases do you remember?
Yeah, what's the phrase? What's the phrase it pays?
That kind of covers the whole spectrum, you know? All those phrases. I think most moms say at least one or two of those things.
Mm.
Or they should, at least, you know?
Dude, speaking of weird dads, you said the, you know, what are you wearing thing, and that's a dad thing, and it reminded me that I needed to talk to you, because something is wrong. I feel like yesterday you said that Chrissy was your spirit animal.
Mm-hmm.
I think you guys really are separated at birth or something, because I walked into the room, and she was watching a show.
Chronicles of Riddick?
No, dude.
Oh.
No. You don't watch cool movies anymore. You spend all of your time watching dumb reality TV. And it was a show, and there was a dad, and then oddly enough, all of a sudden, it was like, oh, he's got a wife? Because he sure doesn't seem like he'd have a wife.
Ooh.
It's Christy knows? I'm going to look it up.
Knows best?
Now. Yes. Is that it? Christy knows best?
Yeah.
Christy, is that it?
I've never seen it.
Oh. I'm shocked.
Is that a Netflix show?
No, dude.
See,
it was
know.
On TV.
And it's a reality show?
Yes.
I've never seen that.
I'm very surprised right now that you've never seen the show. It's just some dude millionaire and their dumb life.
Huh. What channel is that on?
USA Network.
All right, I need to write that one down. Chrissy, if you could text me, remind me to.
This is the number one phrase from the Starmie member that said, my mom never said any of those. Her number one phrase, you're driving me up the wall.
Oh, wow. Sorry, man. That's terrible. No kid wants to hear that.
No.
You're driving me up the wall?
I mean, that happens.
Yeah, but still.
Although, I want to know how that phrase got going. How does one drive up the wall?
It's a good question.
You know? Like, I wonder if the first
Google it
was seriously, like, when the parent was like, you're driving me up the wall! They're like, wow, that's impressive. I didn't even know that was possible. Gravity and all. You know? Cool.
Wow. Driving up the wall? Okay.
Amazing. I'm going to keep doing that. Moving on. Smiling in photos makes you look old. Apparently you're supposed to stop smiling in photos, you know, because you think you're happy or well-adjusted or whatever it is, because it turns out you're not doing yourself any favors, according to a new study out of Canada.
Ooh.
When you smile in a photo, it makes you look old.
How's it going, eh?
The researchers found that when someone smiles in a picture, strangers guess that they were an average of 1 year older than they were. Okay, this is the dumbest story.
1 year older, really?
The researchers say it's because when you're smiling, it really accentuates any wrinkles in your face. So what facial expression should you use to make you look younger? When people made a surprised face, it knocked 2 years off their age because it smooths out all your wrinkles.
Oh. You know what? Ditch everything you just said.
Why?
And download Snapchat. There's a filter on there that takes away all the wrinkles, man.
Mm.
It clears off all the blemishes.
Yeah.
It makes you look at least 15 years younger.
Yeah, but here's the deal. When people post those photos, like on Facebook or wherever, and it's like, boom, new profile pic. It's like, you look like a cartoon.
Yeah.
Everyone knows it's a filter.
Doesn't matter.
You don't really look like that.
Doesn't matter.
It does matter to
me. No way, man. Makes me feel better. Takes away my wrinkles.
By the way, we are going to come back to the top five things moms have said because the live line is going crazy.
Ooh,
with
that's a good
different
one.
Things that their mother said instead.
All right, we'll do that coming up.
Oh, my gosh. Get out of my sight!
Get out of my sight! I think my mom has said that.
Yeah, totally. Oh, man. Yeah. Somebody said you should definitely make blue steel in pictures. No, wait, Magnum!
Magnum!
How about this one? I brought you into this world. I can take you out.
Yep.
You are going to make me crazy. How about, I'm not mad, just disappointed.
Oof. Oof.
Oh my gosh. Things moms have told their kids. My mom used to always tell me that I had to obey her immediately without asking questions because someday somebody might be about to shoot me.
Oh.
And she'll tell me to duck. And if I don't obey right away
and
started looking at her like, why, I would be shot and killed.
Oh, wow.
I guess I should thank her for that advice because I've made it to 40 years old without being shot and killed.
Oh, that is so nice to hear.
Okay. That's pretty good. I actually kind of like that one.
Oh, man, my mom used to say, you should go live with your dad.
Oh, man. Oh.
These are terrible.
Okay, let's hold off. Let's do this coming up after 7, because this is a good
okay.
topic.
Yeah, there are so
585 Live. We just went over a list. Moms use at least one of these five phrases. We'll read that again and have you guys chime in with your phrases that your mother used to tell you.
Hmm. I like that. Pepsi is making a new hot cinnamon flavored soda. Gross! This might be the first soda you have to actually chase with water because it sounds disgusting. There's a new version of Pepsi called Pepsi Fire.
Wow.
This should be coming to stores by the end of the year, and it's got a hot cinnamon flavor. Like if you dropped a red hot into a glass of Pepsi.
I like cinnamon.
Maybe rock some Fireball.
But you know what? People do love that fireball. That's probably why they're doing it.
I'm talking about the jawbreakers, of course.
Oh.
The atomic fireballs. Remember those? That's what you're talking about,
I was
right?
talking about that, too.
Yeah. If you can't wait until the end of the year to try it, it's already on sale in Mexico, Vietnam, Thailand, and the Philippines. So there's that. When I first read this, I seriously thought of hot cinnamon rolls. I don't know why I thought, they're making cinnamon roll flavored soda. That's disgusting. Hot cinnamon's not bad. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Do you think they're seriously going after... it just seems
the
like...
The fireball market?
Yeah,
they
seriously.
Totally are.
Like going after, like, chase it down with this.
Yeah.
Come on, Pepsi.
They totally are.
Coke would never stoop to this level. Pepsi.
Of course not, because Coke is already spicy.
We've been talking about this throughout the week. First, ABC picks up the old Seacrest. Next, they're picking up American Idol. Now, TMZ says that Kelly Clarkson is ABC's first choice to judge American Idol.
Kelly Clarkson!
You know what? I can see that. That's a great idea.
Allegedly, she's so excited about it, she's already scrambling to clear her schedule. I agree. That would be phenomenal.
Yeah, she's the first one.
She was the first winner. She's actually, I think, one of the best things to come out of American Idol. Seriously. She's fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
That's a good call. Go back and just find, what you got, Carrie Underwood. You have, who is the big guy?
Ruben Studdard.
Ruben, he's not doing anything.
Who is the biggest star? Kelly? You think Kelly Clarkson still? Seriously?
No, Carrie Underwood.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
You think?
Heck yeah. Carrie Underwood's, she's like Taylor Swift big in the country world.
Yeah.
And she's pop. She's a crossover.
Mm.
Guaranteed.
Okay.
Because Kelly Clarkson, I thought she kind of went away for a little bit, and then she came back.
I mean,
like she had a family, and
yeah. But wouldn't that say like she could? Because then she came back, and it's like,
well,
and number one hits again.
Yeah, she's there, but I think Carrie Underwood is
okay.
She's huge.
I mean, she does the football intro song thing.
See there,
you're right.
That's good. Huh?
My bad. Huh? I did say arguably.
We gotta take a break.
Yeah, it's definitely between her and Carrie Underwood. So she's got a career to work around, but we'll see. ABC probably wouldn't have to worry about someone clearing the schedule, you know, if they decided to go with 150 other finalists of the original show. Seriously. But we'll see.
What about Clay Aiken?
Go away. Actually, earlier in the week, Clay Aiken said this.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to tell. I'd love to. I'd be an idiot if I didn't say yes. I don't anticipate a call. You know, if you're going down the list of Idol contestants who should be a judge, I'm not at the bottom of it. But I would say that there are two or three, Kelly,
two
Carrie, Jennifer Hudson,
okay,
maybe Chris Daughtry, who are a little bit higher on the list. If they make their way down to spot number five, call me up. I'll do it.
I don't know if Clay can spot five.
Jennifer Hudson, definitely not a possibility because she just joined The Voice, actually, as a coach for season 13. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Jennifer Hudson arguably up there. Yeah. She's,
All right, we got to take a break.
Clay Aiken.
We'll kick off this topic. 585 Live. What phrase did your mom use all the time? We went over the top five phrases that moms used when you were growing up. 505-585 Live if you'd like to text in. We'll be right back. Chris Tomlin, fear not. Saturday, guys. Chris Tomlin presents Worship Night in America. Big Daddy Weave's going to be here.
Yep.
Phil Wickham. Zach Williams, who, if you missed Zach Williams, he was on the show a couple days ago. Hit the podcast. His story was so good.
Yeah, that was a phenomenal interview.
Jason Barton going to be there, and it's at the Santa Ana Star Center this Saturday, 7 p.m. Tickets and more info online at star88.fm/events. It is 7:10.
High today of 75 degrees.
All right, let's check the roads out there, and I see my button's not working. Hold on. Traffic!
I-40 westbound between 98th Street, that's exit 153, and Atrisco Vista Boulevard, exit 149, completely closed. There was an accident overnight involving two semis that caught fire. They're asking that you take Central to Atrisco Vista because, again, I-40 West between 98th Street, exit 153, and Atrisco Vista, exit 149, are completely closed. A couple other things to report this morning. Unfortunately, I-25 North at Avenida de Cesar Chavez, exit 223. There was an accident at the on-ramp right there, gumming everything up, and of course, because of that, why not? Let's go for three. I-25 northbound at New Mexico 243. That's right at Paseo del Norte on the off-ramp there as well. There's an accident reported, and so it's slow going in that area.
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
I know, three already this morning. So, unfortunately. But that's your look at traffic.
Traffic!
Hey, coming up at 9, don't forget Shock Therapy Live with Pastor Nate Heitzig. And a lot of people chiming in. We have a little topic going. We went over a list of phrases that moms used to throw at us, used to use to either encourage us, help us, or not so much. Man, we've gotten some good ones on the live line, so we'll go over that in just a little bit. But first, yeah, our buddy Rob Thomas is here. Hi, Rob.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How you been?
I've been good. Been good. Busy, but good.
Right?
Yeah, you gotta share your story because when you came in last time, and you shared this incredible story about the Dream Center,
yeah,
and what God has shown you. You got to share the story. It's great.
it's most people that I think I'm crazy is, yeah, what I think they think.
That's what I thought. I thought you were just nuts. I was like, this guy's crazy.
You know what? Crazier people have done greater things, right?
Yeah, so yeah, dude.
I'm just like, whatever, God. We'll go with it. We'll, right, see where this takes us. And you know, if your walk with God isn't more about the journey and the adventure, why do it? It's just like, it's too fun to just see God do amazing things, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so, you know, for me, this journey was not something I planned out. I didn't wake up one morning and go, I just got this driving need to work with drug addicts and homeless, yeah, people and,
right,
human traffic victims. You know, just not this – it's not your typical call. I mean, I think most people who say, I want to go into the ministry go, I want this great church. I want lots of people and it'll be pretty and bow-tied and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And this is not that.
Right.
So being able to, you see God moving though in that population in ways I don't think I've ever had a chance to see him move.
Mm.
He takes the foolish things. He takes the despised things. He takes the things that we would consider the throwaways and does amazing stuff with,
right,
it.
Yeah.
So for me, it all started with a dream. I had a dream that we bought this humongous building and, turned it into the New Mexico Dream Center, woke up the next morning, and on the news, lo and behold, that building was for sale. And I thought, how crazy is this? And you just start down this path of, hey, God is going to do this big thing. And our biggest, I think, struggle as believers is we tend to try and figure out what God is doing,
yeah,
and how he's going to do it. And then suddenly when he doesn't do it in the way that we think, we get mad and we want to walk away.
Right.
And, I've been there. We've all been there at some point in time. And what we start learning is that along the way, God has not just baby steps, but he has different plans and ideas on how he's going to take you to that destination point.
Yeah.
And so for us, we worked hard for a year to acquire that building.
Yeah, because that building was worth millions, right? They're trying to sell it for millions of
$15
dollars.
$15 million.
$15 wow. million. Yeah.
So and my bank account is very short of that.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So... yeah. I came here to you guys because I heard you were loaded.
Yeah, super blessed.
Yeah,
too blessed to be stressed. Am I right?
That's right. That's right. So you just, you know, it's a God thing because if God doesn't do it, it isn't happening. And through a series of events, we've taken turns left and right that we don't know why and don't know how. And the building is still for sale. My bank account is still short.
Mm.
But rather than sitting around and going, okay, God, one day when you give me $15 million, which, you know, that's just the starting point.
Sure.
Right.
Then you got to run the place, right? And you fill that place up and you're talking about millions of dollars per month to operate. And when you're a nonprofit, yeah, they don't just hand over millions of dollars real quickly.
So talk about the what is the Dream Center? What will it do for the community?
So our whole mission and vision is about restoring the dreams of the helpless, the hopeless, the hurting, and the broken. And we're going to work with homeless, with, you know, drug addiction in New Mexico is just off the charts.
Oh, yeah.
We are overachievers when it comes to drug addiction. Mm. And human trafficking, I don't even know if most of our listeners are aware. In New Mexico, on any given day, there is close to 10,000 victims of human trafficking in New Mexico.
It's so crazy.
It's hard to fathom sometimes. And so you put that together with drug addiction, and a lot of them are youth. We've got a large population of homeless youth who become trafficked, and it's this never-ending cycle that our city goes through. And you notice even more and more that panhandling is no longer right next to the freeways.
Right.
You know, I was at Academy and by the Walmart and Smith's there on Academy in Wyoming. Some guy standing there with a sign that says, just traveling through. I'm like, dude, you didn't just travel to Academy in Wyoming.
Yeah.
You know? It's everywhere.
Yeah.
And the church is ill-equipped to really deal with it.
Mm.
And so the Dream Center is all about rescuing that population out, just like the Dream Center in L.A.
Yeah.
When the Dream Center in L.A. started in 1994, they started with that, a dream. And today they're meeting the needs of 80,000 people per month out of the L.A. Dream Center.
Wow.
By comparison, our drug population, our homeless population, our human traffic victims per capita is higher in Albuquerque than it is in L.A.
Man.
And so, you know, it's not that there's not a need. It's overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember sitting at a stoplight one day and seeing a guy standing there with a sign and thinking, feeling guilty that I wasn't going to give him $5
out of my
pocket.
We've all been there, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I remember saying to myself, I can give him that $5, but it doesn't help him. It doesn't change his situation.
Right.
And I remember praying, just saying, God, I don't know what to do. And here we are now, a year later, working on this. And so through all those events, there's a little pastor here in town. I say little. I mean, he's a small little guy that 73 years old. He actually started a Dream Center in Albuquerque 15 years ago.
Man.
Most people don't know that he's been here just selflessly laboring to reach people. He's got a little church just off of Central and San Mateo.
Wow.
Right in the heart of it,
yeah.
Right? His name is Pastor Phil Derry, and I met him about a year ago, and he's 73. He has Parkinson's. His wife died a year ago. His daughter died 5 weeks ago.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's still just laboring at this place.
He's taking in the homeless. He's sheltering them, feeding them.
Yep. Discipling them.
Oh, wow.
I mean, he's not just giving them their physical, but he's meeting spiritual needs as well.
Yeah.
And they're just struggling to get by. You know, it's not a large congregation church. It's not he gives everything he can to this labor of love. And I had met Pastor Phil about a year ago, and he actually prayed for us in our endeavor. And so as we've been waiting on God to give us $15 million, and he's just not doing that. And part of me wants to go, God, why?
Right.
And then one day he just kind of dropped into our whole team's heart, why don't you go talk to Pastor Phil? So we did. And just said, Pastor Phil, how could we serve you?
Mm.
And sometimes when we're waiting on God, we just got to find a place to do what God's called us to do and serve.
Yeah.
And you see tears in his eyes, and suddenly the fire and the dream that he thought was dying began to come back to life. But the reason I'm here this morning is because for us to really take this to the next level for even Pastor Phil, he's got a church that he might as well have an umbrella with holes over his building.
I mean,
it leaks like you – I can't even – the entire upstairs – we can house about 100 people if we put this together right. But we got to put a roof on this thing.
Yeah. Right?
And that's the first thing. And me and my big mouth goes, oh, Pastor Phil, we can do that.
Yeah.
We'll take care of that. Going, I have no idea how we're going to do this.
Yeah.
You know, again – I'm short $15 million, much less I'm short $25,000 to get this roof done, right? It's not like it just sits around.
Yeah.
My money goes to work for me, for my kids and my food on my table and those kinds of things. And lo and behold, I mean, we said, yes, we'll do this. And I mean, it wasn't 2 hours later, Steve Ryman calls and says, hey, I was thinking about you guys. Do you guys have a project that we could take on?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, how crazy is God that here we say yes, and here's an opportunity. And it's not just kind of an opportunity. I these things just don't happen by accident.
Sure.
God does things that he orchestrates things, and he's always behind the scenes doing stuff that we discount sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so here we are, and that's what we're trying to do. If we get the, we've already got roofers lined up. We've got everyone ready to go.
Yeah.
We get this roof done, and we'll be live with the Dream Center in the next 30, 40 days.
Oh, man, that's great.
And it's just step one.
See, this story is incredible, because how many people out there listening right now have gotten that dream, have that vision, like, I want to do this. I feel like God is leading me towards this. And yours was, man, a $15 million building? How are we going to do that? You could have so easily given up and said, you know what, maybe that wasn't God. You know, that's, I don't know. And how many people just kind of throw it away? But then you have this opportunity to jump into this smaller version, you know, and you're like, you know what, God's got this, you know? We're going to do, this is where God's led us right now, and we're gonna focus on this right now.
Those, and that's all you can steps, do. You know? You have to continue walking towards right. what God's called you to do. And sometimes you see the big picture and you go, I want to be there,
sure.
but you forget all the steps in between.
Yeah.
You know, and we get anxious. Mm-hmm. We get excited and we want this to happen now. But the truth is, if we get a $15 million building, I don't have the staff resources or ability to
yeah.
take that on yet. Right. And, we had become so front and center and a lot in the city that people were waiting for us to open doors so they could just shove people in there.
Right. Yeah.
And it wouldn't have been done right. It would have been done poorly. It would have been, I think, a colossal disaster is what I think.
Yeah.
Man. And this gives us a chance to really, in the heart of the worst part of our city, roll up our sleeves, get out and really see people changed. And not from the same standpoint. We went out the other day, and it seems like most of our homeless population have heard the gospel story more than anyone in town, because there are groups everywhere, but there's no life change that takes place.
Yeah.
And I've been saying, Lord, how do we do that? And the truth is, you know, God's the only one that can change the heart, but they need an encounter. They need more than just, let me pray for you, buddy. Let me pray yeah. for you. Let me give you a little food and hey, good luck. They got to have this encounter that says, it's bigger and deeper and stronger than anything you're facing.
Yeah.
And I think God's putting us in the middle of that place to do that. It's kind of cool.
Man, I love your heart.
I know,
it's
right?
so good, man. It's great.
I posted all the details at facebook.com/star88FM if you'd like to help the Dream Center. So if you want to donate to provide this roof, as you said, it's like step one. That's the $25,000 that we're
yeah.
looking for right now.
Yeah.
So you can donate right there at nmdreamcenter.org. And again, I posted all the details, facebook.com/star88FM. Incredible, man.
Man, what an answer to that pastor's prayers. I mean, I'm sure he's every day he's just relying and trusting on God
yep.
to meet his needs. Just scraping by, and then all of a sudden you show up and you're like, hey, let's do this. God yeah. gave me this dream, this vision about this, doing this Dream Center. Whatever, we're going to do this, you know?
Yeah.
I love that.
And that's exactly, that. I mean, that's almost how it happened. I mean, it's yeah. just kind of like we showed up and said, Pastor, we don't want to be in charge. We just want to, how can we help you?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and he's literally just trying to get by. Doesn't take a salary Incredible. From his church anymore. Doesn't, you know, it's just one of those stories, and we see them all around. But I'm always that guy that says, what if?
Yeah.
What if God does this?
Mm-hmm.
I'd much rather be living in that what if moment than
right.
to say I should have.
Yeah.
That's so good. I love
there
that.
There you go, man. Facebook.com/star88FM. Everything is there, and just a phenomenal story.
Gosh. Yeah. Rob Thomas, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
By the way, I don't know if we talked about this the last time. Your name, is it? You're just, you're sick of people comparing
you
to
How many
singer.
People ask you to sing Matchbox 20 songs?
Yeah.
Or
well, what I just let people know is that Matchbox 20 got old. I quit. I decided to take yeah. on a homeless
That's
ministry.
Right. Yeah.
I gave up all of my my
fame
residual
and
fame and fortune.
There you
That's
go.
Why I'm on your radio show yeah. begging for money.
There you go. It's perfect.
Beautiful.
Perfect.
All right. Go to our Facebook page, Star88FM. Go like us. All the details up there.
Yep.
Anytime you need us, man, we're here for you.
Heck yeah.
Sweet. We're supporting guys. What you guys are doing.
Incredible.
All right. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
today.
Trump-Lavrov talks marked the highest-level face-to-face contact with Russia of the Trump presidency.
Then spoke very briefly about the FBI director investigating Russian interference in the U.S. election.
He wasn't doing a good job, very simply. He was not doing a good job.
Officials at the Hanford Nuclear Waste Repository in southeastern Washington state are still monitoring a tunnel cave-in.
The study finds that black and white families in assisted or public housing now live in homes of comparable quality. Several decades ago, that was not the case. The latest study also finds that race alone does not seem to change the educational or economic outcomes of children in those homes.
Amazon's next new office building in its home city, Seattle, will include a homeless shelter, helping to address a housing crisis created in part by the online retailer's own growth. Its expanding workforce has helped push property prices beyond the reach of many working families.
The world-renowned Sydney Opera House in Australia has announced it will begin major renovations next week.
Wendy Burnett, a spokeswoman for the Georgia Forestry Commission, says the fire has already burned more than 140,000 acres.
Turkey says it's unacceptable for the U.S. to provide arms to Kurdish fighters in northern Syria.
Good morning. Dex, Steve-O, 736. High today of 75 degrees. Traffic. Well, taking a look at the roads, there's a lot going on. I-25 north at New Mexico, 423, that's Paseo del Norte. There's an accident right at the off-ramp there. There's also an accident, I-25 north at Avenida Cesar Chavez, exit 223, right there on the ramp as well. I-40 west at 98th Street, it looks like they've opened it back up, but of course, if you didn't hear, there was a semi, two semis that collided, caught fire, and closed down I-40 westbound for a while overnight through to this last hour. So, obviously very, very backed up. Other than that, the rest of the roads are looking good. Let's look at traffic.
This traffic update brought to you by Bear Canyon CrossFit, located at 9533 Osuna, Suite B, BearCanyonCrossFit.com, or 505-293-2101. That's 505-293-2101. Thanks again to Bear Canyon CrossFit for this traffic update.
9 a.m. we'll kick off Shock Therapy Live. Pastor Nate Heitzik will be joining us in studio. We have questions to discuss. If you guys have any questions, anything you want to discuss, send them over to us, 585-LIVE. You can text in or you can email us, studio@star88.fm. Give them a little tease. What are some of the topics we're going to discuss?
Oh, gosh. For Shock Therapy Live, for Shock Therapy Live today, we had an email come in this week about a friend in desperate need of advice because his spouse left him for his wife left him for another woman, and just recently said woman found out she was pregnant.
Oh, wow.
Obviously it's his. Whew. For very obvious reasons, and now he doesn't know what to do.
Oh, man,
there's a lot more to the email.
Oh, my goodness,
dude. Yeah.
There's a lot of people.
Buckle up, 9 o'clock hour.
There's a lot of people. I think this is something that I don't even realize a lot of the time. How much pain is out there right now?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
What people are struggling with right now, I think it would probably give us all a heart attack if we found out just the pain that some of these people are going through.
Well, a lot of times I think we isolate ourselves and believe that we're the only ones going through things.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then you get stories like this. You see these real life people that are dealing with these incredible situations, and how do you handle that? How do you counsel that? You know? So I'm excited Pastor Nate's coming in to talk about this because we got a few.
I had a great conversation with my daughter yesterday. We went to the mall. She needed to buy some shoes for dance.
Uh-huh.
And she was talking to me about school stuff and, you know, how she's just struggling a little bit because a lot of her friends, I mean, she's 13, and a lot of her friends are going through puberty and they're changing and their hormones are all out of whack. Well, my daughter, she's hasn't really hit that yet. And so she's dealing with a lot of her friends being moody.
Right.
And just not nice. And my sweet little girl is she's one of those girls who just loves everybody.
Yeah.
Is friends with everybody, wants everybody to be happy. And she's just struggling because, you know, most of her friends are going through that awkward stage. And so I really had the opportunity to talk to her about what it's like to go through puberty. It's awful. Because I can remember, that was, I think, the toughest, that's the toughest time of my life, if I can look back. Mm. It's such a confusing time. Because when you hit the teens, you think you know everything. But then it's, you're confused about a lot of things. You don't understand why things happen, but then you think you do know. And then you got your hormones all out of whack. And so you're depressed and suicidal and you just hate everybody. And then you're happy and then you're sad. And it's just up and down, up and down. So I think it's important to talk to our kids about that stuff, especially when they're teenagers, because that's a tough time for kids. And we're seeing a lot of suicide now. In schools, she even opened up about that and how, you know, a couple of her friends, you know, have talked to her about that, you know, being suicidal. Oh, I don't miss that time in my life. So, hey, we're always here for you guys. Anytime you need us, we'll pray for you. We'll do our best to give you the advice. But I don't know. It's tough, man. Life is so hard.
I mean, it's messy.
Yeah.
Pretty messy.
Peaks, valleys, you know.
Ice cream. What?
Mm-hmm. I feel like ice cream right now.
Yeah. Sometimes that's the only way you can maintain.
Well, yeah.
Just some Jerry Garcia.
So we talked about this survey. They surveyed a bunch of people.
Yeah.
On phrases that their moms used to say. Why don't we go over some of those?
Yeah, this was really cool this morning. It was the top five phrases that moms say. And it turns out at least 79% of moms used one of the top five phrases. This survey came out, of course, because we're near Mother's Day. So they asked kids to pick which one their moms used. 79% of people said that their mom used at least one of these. Here are the top five most common mom-isms. Number five was, you're stronger than you think you are. Number four, I'm always here to listen. Mm. Number three, you'll always be my baby. Number two was, don't worry, everything will be okay. The number one most common mom-ism, because I said so. I say it like that because that's how my mom would scream it.
Right. Yeah. Most moms scream it.
Yeah. The two that just missed the top five were "this too shall pass" and "oh, is that what you're wearing?" Just hilarious.
Yeah. And we had you guys chiming in. You guys started sending in your phrases that mom used to say to you. Hilarious.
Oh, dude. So many. Somebody chimed in and said, my mom still says the three B's. Be good. Be careful. Behave. Somebody else chimed in and said, my husband's mom used to say, get the belt.
Get the belt? Oh, man.
Gosh.
Oh.
How about this one? Don't put that in your mouth. Somebody said, my mom used to always tell me I was GFL, grounded for life.
Oh, man.
But I was usually out of it by the next day. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. A member of the Starmy said, my mom used to say, this is why you're adopted.
Wow. Come on, mom. You can't say that.
Yeah. Yep. A threat used through clenched teeth of a frustrated mom of three. Just wait till your dad gets home.
Mm.
Oh, man. Mom phrase, if all your friends jumped off a bridge, would you jump too? I heard that one.
Yep. I did too.
Oh, my gosh.
338-3700 if you'd like to call into the show. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Hey, this is this Ohio?
This is Ohio.
I knew it.
How'd you know that?
I knew his voice, man, immediately. I almost said his name, and then I was like, wait. Yeah.
That is impressive.
I'm more impressive that I didn't say your name on the radio. What's up, Ohio?
I'm now in Ohio, my stuff has arrived, so I guess this has really happened.
Wow.
So, do you have an update for us at all?
No.
How do you know? Maybe he does.
No, okay, I don't have an update for you. I was going to call in for a thing that my mom has said.
Okay.
Now this isn't an original by her. I'm not certain where she got the quote from, but it's from somewhere else, in which case it goes, better to remain silent and thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt.
Wow. Yes. Yep.
So that's
a good one.
That's one I've heard her say quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, that's a good one.
That is a good one.
Oh, man. I'm glad you settled in Ohio. And glad you're, what are you, streaming us out there on the app?
I am, yes.
Very cool.
I'm sitting in my parking lot at work listening to the app.
Beautiful.
Very cool.
What's Ohio like? I've never been there. Is it flat?
So, did you know that 21 Pilots are from Columbus, Ohio?
I did know this. Actually, Josh Dunn was the drummer in Waverly for a season. So, yeah, I know. Yeah.
No, that was Teo's band.
Okay.
Or his band.
And they have a song called Hometown.
Mm-hmm.
And the chorus of the song goes, where we're from, there's no sun. Our hometown's in the dark. Ooh. I'm beginning to think that's more literal than, yeah. than metaphorical.
Yeah.
Really? Oh.
Yeah.
Lots of clouds.
Yeah. Ugh. Dude, Columbus, though? Oh, man. Ugh. I'm jealous, man. I'm
you get
jealous.
Lots of snow out there?
It is a pretty city. Though.
Beautiful place.
Lots of trees.
Yeah.
There's something different between here and Albuquerque in that there are these very elongated ditches and water flows through them. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
Incredible,
man. They're called rivers?
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Enjoy it. I've got some great friends that live out there, so that's a good place.
Thanks for checking
good
in,
place,
man.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Y'all have a good day.
You too. Later. Very cool.
That was cool.
Shout out to Ohio. We're just going to call him Ohio forever
Ohio.
Now. Talking about momisms, things your mom would say. When saying, I'm thirsty for the millionth time, my mom replied, here, let me slip my wrist so you can drink.
Oh,
what? That is crazy.
I just thought of a few that my mom used to say to me. Swallow your spit and it's far from your heart.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Like if I got hurt and she would be like, oh, Joseph, knock it off. It's far from your heart.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Somebody said my mom used to tell me right before I got a spanking, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. It's so funny because I always thought that was the dumbest thing ever until I became a parent.
Yeah,
and
right?
Now I fully understand.
It does. It hurts us
more.
Oh,
gosh.
It really
it's awful.
Does.
Yeah. Somebody said, is it weird that my wife tells me all these things? Yes. That is a problem. How about this one? I'll give you something to cry about.
Yep. We've heard that.
Yeah.
338-3700 if you'd like to call us. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. This is Rhett.
Hey, Rhett.
Hey. So I had to weigh in. My mom definitely did the whole you just wait till your father comes home deal.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
She also would inform us that if we didn't clean our room, everything was going to be gone the next day.
Yeah. I heard that 1,000 times.
That's a good mom.
If
right
I find anything on the floor, I'm throwing it all away.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. And Steve-O, I got to tell you, dude, I don't know if you were going for this, but you do us when you were doing the top five phrases, spot on impersonation of Linda from Bob's Burgers.
Oh, sweet. I've never seen it, so that's cool. Right on.
Take care, guys.
All right, Red. Thanks, man. Live line's blowing up. I got like 43 texts to get to.
585 live.
Don't ask why. I used to ask why all the time. Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah. Don't ask why.
Because I said so was seriously like.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Better to be safe than sorry. Dougie Doug says, my mom said if I didn't stop playing around in the bathtub, she was, oh, my gosh, she was going to drown me in it. Love you, Mom. That's from Dougie Doug. Parents say some of the craziest things.
Yeah. I'm sure I have.
If you don't stop, I'm going to swat your butt. Somebody said, my mom used to say, do you want me to beat you? Only moms, man.
Yeah.
Learn to love what must be done.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Yep.
338-3700. Good morning. Hi.
You know what? I just had a saying that my mom used to tell us whenever we wouldn't listen to her. And that was, Wait till your dad gets home.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Just wait till your father gets home.
I feel like that's the number one. That's the number one.
My mom used to say that to me, and then he never did. So.
Yeah.
Because he died. You just wait. And I've been waiting 32 years for
that. So. Next.
So uncomfortable. Gets so uncomfortable. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve-O and Dex.
Hey, good morning.
So, what is your mom? You go, I'm thirsty.
What? Say that again? You cut out.
Yeah. I'm thirsty.
Swallow
she
your
goes,
spit.
I'm Friday. Come over to my house Saturday and I'll give you Sunday.
Oh, gosh. Oh, moms.
Every time.
Thank you.
I always got the... Oh, I'm starving. You are not starving. There are children in Africa who are actually starving.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. My mom would always say, swallow your spit.
I'm just hungry. I've never heard that before.
Really?
Swallow your spit?
If I was thirsty or hungry, swallow your spit, Joseph.
Okay.
I say it to my kids, too.
Are you serious?
Gosh. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
I got one here for you. I remember my mom telling my little brother, stick your tongue out at me one more time, I'm going to cut it off.
Oh, my gosh. Moms are ruthless, man.
Yeah. It's classic. I still remember it to this day.
Classic. Oh, beautiful. Classic mom attempting murder. So great.
We're talking about phrases that our moms used to tell us. And some are very encouraging and just so much love, but
they started off that way, and now 80% of them are just threats of death. Liveline, our phone line's blowing up too.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I've got one for you. I grew up with five brothers, one sister, and we could go through about a gallon of milk a day. So my mom came up with this one that says, "If you eat fish, you can't drink milk because it'll make you sick."
What?
All right.
So I love it. We had fish a lot, but a little bit of milk.
There you go.
Thanks, man.
All right, man.
That's good. 338-3700 if you'd like to call in or text in at 505-585-LIVE.
How about this one? You go ahead. You want to read that one?
What?
I'm going to give you a coscarón. It's a bump on the head.
A coscarón?
Yes. Not to... Yes.
Huh.
Ish. Okay. My sister and I used to tell our kids when they were being bad in public, the man is coming, and any man walking by was the man, and that they would shape up real quick because they didn't want the man to spank them. Oh my gosh! It's terrifying!
I know. Now that you said that, I'm thinking, I got these memories popping in my head of when my kids were little, and I used to scare them with things like that.
Oh my gosh.
Such a bad... I'm a terrible parent.
No, that was one thing that Chrissy would never go for.
Yeah.
Like, no fake threats, no, you know, like, we're going to leave you, you know, because then they're, like, terrified of stuff like that. So
I used to tell Landon that if they weren't good when we went on road trips, the police would come and arrest
him. Oh,
and so,
my gosh.
No joke. We're driving from Reno back to Albuquerque. I get pulled over. He's probably 4 years old and sees the cop behind us and starts to freak out.
Yeah.
Like crying because he thinks that the cop is going to come and take him away. It was hilarious, though. It was so funny.
Darla just chimed in and said her grandma always said, work hard and be sweet. See, that's a good one.
That is a good
one. We need some more good ones. No more cutting tongues off.
Okay.
How about this one? I expected better from you.
Oh,
I hated that. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed one where it's just like, you're better than this.
You're better than that, Joseph.
Okay. Somebody said, here's one my wife uses, but our kids would call it a momism. It's smart, too. Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Mm. Yeah. Good morning.
Morning, guys. How you doing? It's your favorite native from the Northern Pueblo.
What?
Hey. Good morning.
Hey. Well, for us, My mom would say, I don't know why Native women say this, though. They always say, when you're little, you want that man to get you.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. You better behave. That man's going to get you.
Oh, man.
So it always cracked me up.
This is like terrifying.
Of course, I love my mom. She was like that, too. But, hey, she raised me in a good way, taught me how to work.
Nice.
Taught me everything in life, man.
There you go.
Beautiful.
Right on, man.
Hey, man.
Love
you.
Love
you guys.
Love you too, bro.
Have a great day, all right?
All right, you too. Word.
We love it. I love everybody calling right now. Please keep this up.
Why are moms so terrifying?
They are terrifying.
It's like threatening the candy man. You better behave. That man with the hook's going to come steal you. What?
The man with the hook.
What is wrong with you? Oh, I like this one. My mom would say, if you break your leg, don't come running home to me.
Yeah.
Wait, what? If you break your leg. Okay. My mom used to remind and tell me that if I were ever to get arrested for whatever reason, you better hope and pray the cops keep you.
Yeah, I would imagine that there's a lot of Starmie members that would rather spend the night in jail than come home and face mom.
Yep. Yep. For real.
It's safer in jail.
Oh, the mom count. Mom phrase. I'm going to give you the count to three.
Yeah.
One.
Oh, man.
Two.
Oof.
Oh, no counting.
But that still works. It still works in our house. Because it's almost like it gets their attention because it when I say one, it's like, whoa.
Huh? What?
Oh, wow. Oh.
Because okay, this is real.
I followed through.
It just got real.
Yeah, I followed through when they were little with the one, two, three. Most parents don't. But they actually like, oh, okay, all right.
Dude. Oh, man. This is my favorite. Parenting tip number 37. When I can't figure out who broke something or did something, I tell the kids, all right, I'm just going to go look at the camera. They think there are cameras in every vent in our house.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
That is.
All right, I'm just going to go look at the cameras.
Yeah, time to fess up.
You better. I mean, it's going to be easier now if you just tell me the truth.
Oh,
if I have to find out through the cameras, it's going to be a lot worse for you. Oh, man.
Yeah. Good morning.
Morning. This is Flat Top.
What? Flat Top.
Flat Top.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, my mom used to tell me, I hit you because I love you.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Yep. Yep. Gosh.
Such a confusing
time. Some good momisms. Thanks, man.
Such a confusing time.
Yeah, for real. Somebody, Tempe chimed in and said, when I'd act like a know-it-all, my mom would just smirk and say, you just keep living, because she'd know. Eventually, I'd see how wrong I was.
Wow.
Oh, man. I seriously have over 50 texts on the live line to get to.
These are great.
Oh, moms.
Moms.
Coming back, we got a surprise guest.
I'm looking at, what are these, like Chris Tomlin tickets? I don't know. There seems to be a lot of them here in the studio. Maybe it has
Chris
to do
Tomlin
with that.
Tickets.
I don't know. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. Chris Tomlin, God's Great Dance Floor.
Oh, that's who that was.
Star 88. Chris Tomlin presents Worship Night in America this Saturday night.
That's right.
Tickets, all the info, star88.fm/events. Big Daddy Weave going to be there. Phil Wickham, Zach Williams, Jason Barton, and Chip Lesko.
Ha. Huh.
Chip, what are you doing?
A rare personal appearance.
Oh, man, we never get this.
We don't.
Have we ever gotten this?
I'm not going to lie. We were both totally assuming we were getting fired. So
we
that's
did.
Cool.
We did.
Because, because you said that you were going to, it was like 8 a.m. meeting, and I'm like, does he know that we have a radio show?
Yeah.
Does he know we're on the air? Like,
oh, man.
Does he? Oh, he wants to be on the radio with us.
It was such a mystery kind of secret. And was like,
oh, we're not fired. Unless he wanted to like really go big and make headlines and do it on the air, because that would be awesome.
Oh, that's been done.
Has it?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
back in the day.
Awesome.
That's how
the red phone, the top 40 radio, the red phone, man. If it rings, you're out.
Oh, no way! Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, that's so cool.
They changed Boss Radio.
They changed that. They had to have changed it because that, I mean, you get fired on the air.
It's called voice tracking now.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, let's talk about Worship Night in America.
I know a guy. I know a morning guy who got fired during the softball game.
No way.
True.
Really?
Yep, the GM fired him right during the game.
What, yeah. Was it just because of shenanigans on baseball, or like
it was performing poorly?
Oh my gosh!
You're fired. With a very serious softball radio deal.
Oh my gosh! Oh,
wow!
Incredible! Incredible! Okay. Huh. So you just got back. I follow Levi's adventures because that dude is a. He's your kid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He is your spawn, your seed. He is just making waves in the universe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'll dote on him since you don't. I'm just kidding. And I watching him on that Outcry tour, that was a phenomenal opportunity.
Really
was. Because, I mean, obviously, Pastor out at Fresh Life, he's in Montana. He gets out for the O2 experience. But really, I mean, he's grounded there in Montana. He doesn't really go out on the road, if you will, too much.
Well, here's a great principle for us to look at.
Yeah.
This is a Nazareth principle.
Yeah.
You know, Levi took off from Southern California, if you know a story.
Yeah.
Great opportunities, you know, in SoCal, and went to Kalispell, Montana.
Yeah. Yeah.
Population 17,000.
Wow.
In the actual city.
It's crazy.
And he has a heart for, you know, mass evangelism and all this. And he went to probably one of the most obscure places you could.
Yeah.
And yet, despite that, the Lord has turned it around. He's getting all the opportunities possible by being faithful to the calling. There's a lesson there somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Right. It's pretty amazing. So he was part of the Outcry tour,
right.
And I mean, for those that don't know, talk a little bit about what this tour is. I mean,
well, it started, I think, a few years back, and it's a worship experience. That's really what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
In part today is the I think a very encouraging trend in the church. Away somewhat from concerts. There's always going to be a place for them and performances. That's fine. But what I'm seeing is this people, the church wanting a worship experience.
Yeah.
And that's what the Outcry Tour is. And you see it packed out, sold out a couple of nights. I was there with Jesus Culture and Elevation Worship, which aren't big stars, so to speak.
Yeah.
I mean, people probably couldn't name one of the singers, maybe Kim Walker, but you know, so it's more of less a spectator event than a participation.
Yeah,
I think it's really healthy.
That's huge.
Yeah.
No, that's huge. And well, I think one thing I love about this generation, if you will, or at least the culture we're in right now, because I wouldn't even say it's generational, but just right now in the church, one trend I notice is authenticity. Because growing up for me, you know, it was high church, and it was putting on your best face, and it was, I mean the standard is, it was crazy, and it wasn't the standard because of Christ. It was because of leadership, or it was because of your parents, or because of whatever it was. And it was almost fear driven, you know, like, I got to be perfect, not scriptural, where it's like, hey, be perfect as I'm perfect. You know, we're like, okay, I can do this because Jesus. It was more fear. And so you had your game face on, and there wasn't really a whole lot of authenticity there. There was in places, you know, but, now I notice that people are just wanting something real and something genuine.
Well, not just people, Steve-O. God wants us to experience Him.
Yeah.
And so, you know, legalism is lethal.
Yeah.
And the last thing God wants is a 90-minute event on Sunday morning where you're watching your clock before you go to Denny's. You know?
Yeah, man.
And so,
moon's over my hammy,
and
bro.
I see that this worship experience trend is all part of that. God drawing us into experiencing Him off the clock.
Yeah.
You know, and so we're seeing that happen. The Bible says that God inhabits the worship of His people.
Yeah.
And if you observe the economy of the corporate worship in the Jewish setup, it was based on a corporate experience in Jerusalem. They had to go there a couple times a year for the feast. It was a big deal.
Yeah.
And but they were experiencing corporate worship.
Yeah.
God, it's about the body of Christ. And so we're seeing that kind of pouring out of the church today is a natural expression.
Yeah.
I'll never forget. It was, I think it was 2015. Chris Tomlin came, played the Santa Ana Center.
Mm-hmm.
And, we happened to, I had worked at iHeart at the time, and my boss said, hey, I got some Chris Tomlin tickets if anybody wants to go. And I was like, you know what? Let's do it. I'll take them. My wife and I were kind of going through a tough time at that point. We were just going through a rough patch. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take my wife. We're going to go out and see Chris Tomlin. We walked into that place and honestly have never felt that feeling before. Like, the Spirit of God was everywhere.
Yeah.
I couldn't stop crying.
You are such a baby.
I know. I don't cry. Such and I walk in, and my wife and I both cried the entire night and just worshiped God. And I hadn't had that since I was probably a kid.
You know, where it was like that feeling of, I feel you, God. I'm having this encounter with you, you know? And it was at a Chris Tomlin concert.
Yeah, I was going to say, Tomlin was here, what, a year ago when we went? Yeah. We were all there and took the kids. And I'm going to be honest, on the flip side for me as a worship leader and as someone, like, I always, I'm looking for that new, that different, oh, King's Kaleidoscope and Citizens and Saints and different. So for me, you know, it was like, oh, Chris Tomlin, how great is our God? This is, you know, the guy. And how's this going to go? And it was one of the most incredible worship experiences I've ever had.
Yeah.
Right. And I was blown away. And in that moment, I think I understood, okay, that's why he's, quote, Chris Tomlin. Because I saw the guy at the Believer Center, like in 2001, and just dude, kid in ripped jeans, you know what I mean? And he's still that kid in ripped jeans, just, you know, 43 million song downloads later. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's still, he's still Chris Tomlin.
Well, Dax, I think you hit it right on that. A lot of people are going to go or have gone, and maybe for the first time outside of a church building, seen an expression of worship. They go, wait a minute, it's not the building.
Yeah.
It's what's happening in here.
Yeah.
And I remember being at a Hillsong event years ago, and they kind of, I think, plowed the field for this kind of an event.
Yeah.
And what Hillsong United did and has done, it's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And for 3 hours, just, and it's not about a rock. These guys are, quote, rock stars, but they don't act that way.
Nope.
You get to know Hillsong. They're just worship leaders.
Right? Yeah, man.
And these guys, JD and all the rest, they're just normal guys, but what they're doing is a worldwide phenomenon.
Yeah, that's who we got to hang out with, right, Steve-O, when we were down in Las Cruces. Weren't there a couple people from Hillsong?
Oh, well, you're thinking of Passion. No, that's Christian Stanfield. Okay. I mean, another phenomenal group. Right. Yeah, are you kidding me? Another great movement that I think there. It's cool to see how God worked in Australia and then over here in Atlanta and just doing different things with these different groups because, as you mentioned, Jesus Culture, Elevation Worship, all these different people that Bethel, like just doing different things. But it's just this really rad. I even hate to use the word trend because I don't want it. It's not a trend.
It's just a movement.
I think
it's a really good point, Steve-O, because we're hearing all this, that church is dying and churches are closing. Not true.
Not
PR.
No.
False news.
Right.
Things are happening. God's moving.
Yeah.
And now there are some churches that are closing and maybe they should.
Yeah.
But there's more opening and God's doing a new thing.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of the death of the mega church, you know? A lot of that
premature
right now.
Premature. Yeah,
definitely premature.
But let's give some tickets away.
We have a grip of tickets, man, for Worship Night in America. So this is exciting. So
it's this Saturday night.
Yep.
It's at the Santa Ana Star Center. And all the info is at star88.fm/events. But we had Zach Williams on the show this week.
Oh, man.
Again, go to the podcast. It was on a couple of days. He was on Tuesday's show.
Yeah, he was on Tuesday's show, man.
His story was...
He is one of those...
Amazing.
He's one of those incredible stories where I thought it was... great for parents to hear because here's a dude that grew up in a solid Christian home. Dad is a worship leader. Mom is in worship as well. Grew up knowing Jesus and youth groups and everything. And then he was that kid that hit high school and got involved in drugs and drinking. And he was a star basketball player, so he didn't care. And he had his whole life figured out. And broke his ankle his senior year of high school, right before he was recruited. He was being recruited by Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Division I basketball, and seemingly his life was over. So instead of turning back to God, like, you know, as you sometimes hear in these stories, he went further away, deeper into drugs, deeper into, you know what I mean? But it was this cool story to see how God used it and how his parents always unconditionally loved him. They never gave up on him. And here he is. Man, you got to hear the whole story. But
pretty cool.
I mean, we're Chainbreaker, number one hit for how many weeks in a row? 16 weeks in a row is number one. I mean, just incredible.
Yeah, and how
to
he
see.
Got to,
yeah.
to that
Even
song.
Even that song.
It was so cool.
Phenomenal. Check out the podcast, star88.fm. All right, we're going to give some tickets away.
Zach will be here on Saturday along with Jason Barton.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Wickham, of course, Chris Tomlin.
Yeah.
It is an incredible experience. So.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the format of Worship Night in America. It came out of last year. They picked 5 dates, Dex, and they did Red Rocks, Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
They did, American Airlines Arena in Miami, and a couple more major cities like Chicago and LA. And this year, there's a few more dates, but they picked Albuquerque.
Wow. Which is
for
crazy.
For a Saturday night, and it's the last night on the tour.
Yeah.
And look, you guys know the promotion world. People watch these numbers. Mm-hmm. And we'll get more of the flow of bands if we support the ones that come.
Right. Yeah. No, it was a huge deal when they made those announcements, because you're right. We're talking Madison Square Garden. We're talking these
Red
Rocks. Yeah,
come
Red on. Rocks, man. Yeah. These gorgeous venues.
And Santa Ana Star.
And places, yeah, places that yeah. can support, because it's true. They're sadly, in the last few years, we've seen some phenomenal tours that unfortunately couldn't make it to Albuquerque because the numbers just aren't there, because the support wasn't there. So for us to get picked up on a show like this was pretty mind-blowing to begin with. But yeah, man. And we've got tickets for said show to give away.
338-3700, or you can text in at 585-LIVE. It's this Saturday night, yep. Santa Ana Star Center, and we got a ton of tickets. And I hear that these are, like, really good seats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was blown away, because normally, let's be real, when promotions people give you tickets to give away, they're like, here you go. And then you're, like, up in the left wing corner. You're like, is that? I think that's Chris Tomlin. Give me your binoculars. These are, like, right up front. Mm-hmm. Like, these are.
I will say, though. When I was just telling you my experience at Chris Tomlin a couple years ago, we were on the very top.
Right.
And so Chris Tomlin looked like a little ant.
Yep.
It didn't even matter. It didn't mm-hmm. matter at all. So I can't imagine what it'd be like to be front row to be there. But gosh, no matter what, you should go to the show. If you don't win tickets, experience Worship Night in America. Some of these artists are all great.
Well, let's talk format. I went last year to one of the shows, Dex, and it's not like this band, five band, then Chris Tomlin. No.
Yeah.
They're all on stage at the same time, and different ones lead, but it's a whole night of experience. It's Phil Wickham with Chris, with that. And each one takes a portion of the night, but it's not this now set up for a different band. It's a whole flow of night of worship.
Yeah.
And it's powerful.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to be heading out to Phoenix here pretty quick.
Yeah.
Which I'm excited about.
Yeah, dude.
We're getting out. We're going to do the show in Phoenix. And I've never experienced Harvest America before. Mm. I hear it's much like that experience of just, gosh, how many people get saved at these things? Like thousands of people.
Yeah.
And you're an Angel fan.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Well, every year I would get so upset seeing.
I've walked from foul pole to foul pole.
Yeah.
Center field to second base, full of people just coming to Christ.
It's phenomenal.
To the point where they have to stop them from coming onto the outfield.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's been happening for 25, 27 years now.
Yeah.
And Harvest America is even a larger version of that mm-hmm. now. And it's one night this year in Phoenix. But it you're in for something.
Oh, yeah, because think about this. Normally, as you're saying, they pack the outfield of Angel Stadium. You know, that seats 43,000 people. And the outfield given, you know, what, 350 to the foul pole. We are going to be at University of Phoenix Stadium. This is a football field. This is a much larger stadium. Yeah. It's going to fill up and hopefully pour out onto the field, man. So
last year was the first one, really, of Harvest America, which is distinct from Harvest Crusades in Anaheim and elsewhere.
Yeah.
But they had it at Dallas Stadium in Texas, which is huge.
Yeah.
Like 100,000. They packed it out. Plus, they had just massive worldwide watching on the web and whatnot. And they consider it the largest single evangelistic one-day event in church history so far.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
So here's the deal. We have, what, 7 lines already full?
Oh, yeah.
I've gotten so many texts on the live line to give away tickets. Being that Mother's Day is Sunday, I feel this would be a phenomenal Mother's Day present. So we don't want to just hand them out to the first few that call in. We would love to hear why your mom deserves some tickets to this this phenomenal event. So
I like that. That's good.
Phone lines are jammed up.
338-3700 if you'd like to call in. Yeah. And that's take your mom to go see Chris Tomlin.
Right?
That's what you do.
Yeah.
Husbands, take
Chris
your bride.
Momlin
take
giveaway.
Mom.
Chris Momlin
Chris
ticket
Momlin.
Giveaway. That's
you're so good at that.
It's like God created me for this purpose. I just don't even know to be an idiot and say things that are funny.
All right, answer the phone.
Okay.
Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning. Good morning,
TJ.
Hi.
Tell us why your mom deserves these tickets.
Why she deserves these tickets? Well, she put up with me. People knows that's enough reason right there.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good. Oh man. I mean, Is that really good enough reason right there? No, hang on the line.
Okay. All right.
I just want to give them away to people.
338-3700. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. Thank you for holding.
Hi.
Tell us why your mom deserves
it.
You're probably a mom. Are you a mom?
Who's talking? Dex?
Yeah, yes. Hi.
Hi. What's up?
Okay.
Hi, Cap.
Hey.
Are you a
hey,
mom?
Steve-o.
Okay.
Hi.
I'm
hi.
A mama.
Okay,
yes,
good.
I'm a mama.
Okay. Right. So what was the latest terrible thing your child did that has made you get another white hair so you deserve these tickets to go see Chris Tomlin? Anything?
What?
You need worship night. Put her on hold. We're going to give you tickets.
I mean, come on.
Move on to the next.
Move on? Gosh.
Hold on the phone.
This is phenomenal radio.
Yeah.
Our general manager's in here. We're going to lose our jobs.
Good morning. Hello, you there?
Hello?
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Hey,
go ahead.
Birds. How's it going?
Okay. We'll see you, buddy. All right. Good morning. Thank you for holding.
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
This is the Wire Guy. How are
you? Wire Guy.
Wire Guy. Dude.
What is going on, fellas? It's been a long time since I called in.
I know.
How are you guys?
We are fantastic. So we got Chris Tomlin tickets to give away for this Saturday.
I thought you said it was Chris Momlin.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, it's Chris Tomlin, but you're taking your Momlin or
something. Yes, I am.
Okay.
Well, here's the deal. Can we do it for my wife?
Yeah.
She's a therapist in ATS. Is that
wow.
still legal?
Dude, yeah, man. You know what? That wins.
Yeah.
She needs some worship therapy,
some
am I right?
Man. Yes. She needs a little bit of worship. Needs to have a little bit of coming to Jesus just because she's bitter and loves Jesus. But is not happy with work.
I got you. That's a tough gig, man. That is a tough gig. All right, hang on the line.
Hold on the phone, man.
Woo!
That's good. All right, so we'll take some phone calls off the air, but
yeah.
We got like 20 tickets to give away.
Yeah.
I can give away all these?
Yeah.
All these? All right. Chip, hey. Will you come in more often?
Anytime.
I think you're a pretty good dude.
Thanks for having me.
You know? You mean you hired me, so thank you.
Good move.
Yeah, right. I mean,
the other guy here, I don't know about.
But you don't have to take ownership for me.
I inherited you.
Worship Night in America. Chris Tomlin presents Big Daddy Wee, Phil Wickham, Zach Williams, Jason Barton. It's this Saturday. If you want tickets, we got 20 tickets to give away right now. 338-3700. We'll be right back.
Cheese.
It's not.
Just push a button, Mom.
I pushed the button.
Cheese. Hold it down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then just push
cheese.
It.
It's not going down.
Push the button, Mom.
There's numbers.
Mom.
We don't have time to take this picture, but happy Mother's Day.
The Morning Invasion with Dex and Steve-O on Star 88.
Hey! What's going on in the news today?
Trump-Lavrov talks marked the highest-level face-to-face contact with Russia of the Trump presidency.
Then spoke very briefly about the FBI director investigating Russian interference in the U.S. election.
He wasn't doing a good job, very simply. He was not doing a good job.
Officials at the Hanford Nuclear Waste Repository in southeastern Washington state are still monitoring a tunnel cave-in.
A study finds that black and white families in assisted or public housing now live in homes of comparable quality. Several decades ago, that was not the case. The latest study also finds that race alone does not seem to change the educational or economic outcomes of children in those homes.
Amazon's next new office building in its home city, Seattle, will include a homeless shelter, helping to address a housing crisis created in part by the online retailer's own growth. Its expanding workforce has helped push property prices beyond the reach of many working families.
The world-renowned Sydney Opera House in Australia has announced it will begin major renovations next week.
Wendy Burnett, a spokeswoman for the Georgia Forestry Commission, says the fire has already burned more than 140,000 acres.
Turkey says it's unacceptable for the U.S. to provide arms to Kurdish fighters in northern Syria.
Oh, yeah, go!
Good morning. Coming up at 9, Shock Therapy Live. It's a one-hour show with Pastor Nate Heitzik. And we have some questions to answer. Thank you, Starmy, for sending me your questions for Shock Therapy Live. We've got a few to tackle. And Of course, you can always text in. This is an hour where we dive deep into things that we normally don't talk about. Definitely, if you, I know we have a lot of homeschooled kids out there that listen to the show. Parents, 9 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about some mature subjects at times. So just be aware of that. And maybe it's one of those, maybe it's a situation where you can listen to it with your kids, depending on their age, and you guys can have a good conversation about that. But just wanted you to be aware of that. Shock Therapy Live kicks off at 9. And we're out of Chris Tomlin tickets. Thank you so much, Starmy, for texting in and also calling us. And to our boss, Chip Lusko, who came in to hang out for a little bit. The first time he's ever been on the show.
Boom.
It is 8:35.
High today of 75 degrees.
How are the roads? You okay?
Traffic! It's been a crazy morning. Some accidents throughout the early course of the morning, but it's looking like we've kind of calmed down as people are heading out to work. No accidents to report at this time in the Albuquerque metro area. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic!
Oh, man. Coming up. You know what? I'm going to do this now. I want to do a few of these now. I'm not going to wait till tomorrow. Because I love my mom. Love you, Mom. I made a list. I've been writing down all the things that I miss about my mom all week. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to throw out a few.
Okay.
I miss my mom's home-cooked meals. My mom made the best fried chicken. I miss going to the store with my mom. I miss how my mom would throw her arm over to stop me from going through the windshield when she had to hit the brakes.
Okay. Oh, you're so dumb.
I miss my mom showing up to watch me at different events. I played basketball, football, ran track, cross country. She showed up to everything. I miss going on vacations and stopping to eat breakfast in Pocatello, Idaho. I'd get the chicken fried steak and eggs every morning. I miss watching soap operas with my mom. We bonded over The Young and the Restless and Days of Our Lives. We'd have hours of conversations about who's going to die, who's going to come back.
You really thought about this.
I miss my mom saying, "Hello! Hello!" My mom used to say it. Well, she still does. I miss her being an amazing grandma. I miss going to the Black Angus on my birthday and ordering the Imperial Steak with crab and yummy cheese sauce. I love you, Mom. Back to you, Steve. Back to you, Steve.
I don't even know where to go from here.
Mother's Day for dummies.
That's me.
This is a mother. Mothers show their love in many different ways. Encouraging words.
You could do so much better.
No.
Shush.
Physical contact.
Mom, did you just spank me?
I hope you're happy.
Ow!
Guilt.
Look what you made me do.
What?
My heart.
Mom?
Here are some appropriate gifts for Mother's Day. Chocolate.
Oh.
Flowers.
Oh.
A massage.
Oh.
A team of maids.
Oh.
A card you made and colored yourself.
Oh, goody.
Here are some inappropriate gifts for Mom. Depends.
Oh, actually, give me those.
The unauthorized biography of Joan of Arc.
Oh. Mom?
More kids.
Mom?
Remember, moms are doing the best they can. Wish yours a happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Done.
This has been Mother's Day for Dummies.
Beautiful. Just beautiful.
I have some bad news.
Oh.
For all the people in the world who were stoked on Steve Harvey because he owned his mistake with Miss Universe. Colombia!
Colombia!
Ladies and gentlemen. Apparently, Steve Harvey really hates being disturbed in his dressing room.
Ooh.
At the beginning of the current season of the Steve Harvey Show, he sent employees an email with some new backstage rules, and that email has leaked. Here's what it says. Quote, there will be no meeting in my dressing room. Do I do it in Steve Harvey voice?
Well, I mean...
Is that a bad idea?
That's a pretty good Steve Harvey voice.
I need to, like, smack my lips.
Okay, no. And, no, like, no, no voice.
Have a mustache.
No voice.
No? Are you sure? The boss is in town. I better not.
Thank you. Goodbye.
There will be no meetings in my dressing room, no stopping by or popping in. No one! All caps. Do not come to my dressing room unless invited. Do not open my dressing room door. If you open my door, expect to be removed. That was in all caps.
Like removed, like fired or removed from the dressing room?
I mean, you better not. You better not just approach him to ask him that question, though.
Man.
Because he says, I want all the ambushing to stop now. That includes TV staff. I have been taken advantage of by my lenient policy in the past. This ends now.
Preach.
No more! All caps. Do not approach me while I'm in my makeup chair unless I ask to speak with you directly. Oh. Do not wait in any hallway to speak to me.
Oh.
I hate being ambushed. Please make an appointment.
Oh.
I promise you I will not entertain you in the hallway and do not attempt to walk with me.
Wow.
Everyone, do not take offense to the new way of doing business. It is for the good of my personal life and enjoyment. End quote. Steve Harvey.
Steve? Are you... So did somebody... Because, you know, he sent out an email with all of this. So,
yeah.
Of course, somebody shared it with the world.
Of course.
Did...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was okay with the dressing room. I mean, I was okay with that. I mean, sometimes, you know, maybe that's his quiet place and he doesn't want to be disturbed.
Yeah.
But the other things?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That kind of shows...
Do not approach me in my makeup
chair. Yeah.
Do not approach me in my makeup chair.
Wow. That people are in fear of this man, I'm sure.
But think of like...
That's a lot of rules.
How often is he, quote, ambushed?
I don't know.
Think of these times. Hypothetically, of course, because this never actually happens to me.
Oh.
You're walking down the hallway. You're on a mission. You and I get... 2 minutes, 3 minutes maybe, in between talk sets. Sometimes we got to go to the little DJ's room.
Mm-hmm.
Potty break.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're rushing to go potty. And as you're approaching the men's room, somebody goes,
hi, Steve!
Dax! Hey, man! Oh, this morning, you were talking about... And then you're going...
Yeah, but
I'm gonna pee my pants.
But that's different.
And I only have 45 seconds until the show's back on.
Yeah, but I think that's different, isn't it?
How's that different? I'm sending out an email today. I do not like to be ambushed. Imagine you're like, I'm sorry. I only have so much time. I gotta go to the bathroom because I gotta get back on the show. And then you go to the bathroom and then you walk out and they're still standing there outside the bathroom door.
Yeah.
Be a little weird, right? Now imagine you're Steve Harvey and that probably happens every 7 seconds. 7 seconds.
Yeah.
Dressing room, man. You're in your private dressing room. Imagine if people came back here to talk to us about something funny we said on the morning show and they just busted into the studio.
Right.
Nate.
Yeah. I kind of understand that, but at the same time, I feel like...
Nah, man, I'm with Steve Harvey on
this. That's just
Steve's
mean.
Unite.
It's kind of mean.
Steve's all over the world.
Okay.
We just got to unite on this, man.
If the guy is having a hard time focusing and, you know, while he's getting his makeup done or he's in his dressing room,
yeah,
those are times where he's prepping, preparing. I totally get it. But the email kind of comes off as, you know what? You better not talk to me. You stay away from me. I don't want to be ambushed. It just comes off as being...
No way, bro.
He's a dictator.
California just chimed in and said, that doesn't seem out of the ordinary. Getting ready to be on TV. You need some downtime to prepare. I'm with him. Oh, man. You know what the sad thing is? I'm totally hamming this up and joking right now. But I just realized that off air we were giving away Tomlin tickets, and one of the people who shall remain nameless, the Wire guy, said he's seen us in public like multiple times.
That's ridiculous.
And won't approach us.
Whenever
I'm like,
I hear
come
that,
say hi to me.
Seriously, come on, people.
Look, you guys are so unapproachable.
That is not okay.
I was nervous to meet you guys because of how diva-ish Dex is.
Oh, wow. You know that's not true.
Whatever. That's what it says.
Well, he's joking.
I mean,
he's joking.
I don't know, man. He said JK after.
Just kidding.
Oh, I thought it was jealousy kills because he was jealous of our lifestyle. My bad. So he was kidding. Oh, okay. I thought he was jealous. Jealousy kills, man.
Can you imagine if you sent out an email, an all staff email like Steve Harvey did?
Here at the church?
Yeah. Oh, I don't think that would go over too well.
Oh, man. Think about it.
I don't know.
But okay. You know what we could seriously bring this up to? Nate, think about a pastor who is like in his office studying, preparing a word. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like digging down into scripture because he's about to, quote, perform. He's about to go out on that stage and deliver a message.
Yeah.
I would be okay if all of a sudden we got this email that was like, hey, man, when I'm like getting ready for my message, don't interrupt me.
Yeah.
Don't do this. Don't do that.
I wonder if it's a situation with Steve Harvey because, I mean, we don't know Steve Harvey, but everything that we've heard about the guy seems like he's a really nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if it was a situation where he was too nice and people take advantage of that.
That's what somebody just said. What if he was walked over to the point where he had to take a stand?
You know what? If it's that situation, I'm okay with that because you're right. You're trying to prepare for your show.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you got Nancy down the hall that goes, oh my gosh.
Are you putting Nancy on blast?
My best friend just flew in from Chicago and loves you. And she busts into Steve Harvey's office to introduce her best friend. Yeah, I get that. I hope it's that situation. And he's not just being a big meanie head.
Somebody said that they saw you once and they wanted to run up and talk to you, but you were busy berating a female for her driving skills.
Okay.
Hashtag so Dexist.
All right. Yeah. That's false. That's
somebody
fake
else said
news.
There's a chance he voiced his concerns about this, but it probably didn't work. So now he had to send a mass email sounding mean to get his point across.
That's a possibility, man. Mm-hmm. You know, it really could be a possibility. I don't know. But if it is, well, it is what it is, man.
The show's actually moving from Chicago to L.A., and sources say he didn't give too many staffers the option of going with him. So they're not really that sad to see him leave. Probably why the email leaked and nobody cared.
Okay.
It's time for five random facts.
And now it's time for...
Five
random facts.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Number 5.
What? No.
Rhino dung emits a surprisingly pleasant odor. Number 4. You can get dog hair off furniture using gentle persuasion.
Morgan
Number
Freeman.
3. The best way to treat a flesh wound is rubbing it with pepper. So remember, only get stabbed at a restaurant.
What?
Preferably a fancy one with a pepper grinder.
What?
Number 2. Seconds after the MGM lion roared for cameras, he slaughtered the entire film crew.
Oh, wow.
And number 1. Patti LaBelle loves tacos.
This has been today's edition of...
We hired Morgan Freeman to do the 5 random facts, even though that was the same list we did yesterday.
Where's Morgan Freeman?
We
hired him to update that every day, and that's the same list as yesterday. Producers, anyone?
The best part is I didn't even notice that was the same.
You weren't even paying attention.
I wasn't because I was so mad that Morgan Freeman is stealing my job.
We hired Morgan Freeman to do the list, and he gives us the same one. Unbelievable.
Listen, yo.
I'm going to have to send him an email.
I will stab you at a restaurant, Morgan Freeman, but only if there's good pepper there so that you can heal easily. Stop stealing my job!
And now it's time for...
Random facts.
1, 2, 3, 4!
He's fired.
Number 1. Shell Oil Company got the name Shell because when it started in 1833, it was a store that sold imported seashells.
What?
It didn't get into the oil business for another 50 years!
Really?
How crazy is that?
That is crazy.
He was busy selling seashells by the seashore. Except I actually said seashell, seashore.
I said
because
seashell.
I can articulate.
By the seashore.
You said seashore. And I'm like, what a dumb.
Seashell, she's by the seashore. You see?
Okay. Number two. Will Smith's first name is not William. Will is short for Willard.
Oh.
But on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, his character's first full first name was William. So everybody thinks that Will Smith's name is William Smith.
Huh. Willard.
Willard.
Willard Smith.
That changes everything.
You're not going to get hired with a name like Willard Smith.
I mean. Number three, the oldest living child of a president is Linda Bird Johnson Robb. She's Lyndon Johnson's oldest daughter. She's alive and kicking at 73 years old.
No kidding.
Number four on your list of five random facts today. Carrots are actually bad for rabbits and can cause major health problems. But thanks to good old Bugs Bunny, pretty much everyone thinks rabbits love carrots.
Wow.
Yep.
Huh.
Yeah. So you've been brainwashed your whole life.
This has been today's
edition. That was only four. That was only four.
Random. My music ran out. You're gonna have to get it shorter.
No, we're
gonna have to hire Morgan Freeman again.
I have one more really good one.
Okay.
It's a good one, man.
All right, I'll let you have it.
No, I need my music.
I can't. I mean, you got to go through the intro again. I just don't have the music. Oh, my gosh.
And now it's time for...
Random facts.
No, you can't do the intro because... No, I only have one more.
Well, I know. I don't have the music, though. It's attached to the intro.
I hate Morgan Freeman and I hate you.
He'll be back tomorrow.
Dr. Dre did not know Eminem was white until they met in person.
Unbelievable.
He said he was so happy when he found out because, quote, it was so different.
Wow.
You know, that reminds me of the first time I met Eminem. We were at this crazy party in Detroit, and I look over and Eminem's standing there, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's Marshall Mathers. So I approach him, and he says the funniest thing. Are you ready for this? Yeah. So I walk up.
This has been today's edition of...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5!
Random facts.
I hate your soul.
You're fired.
I hate your soul.
You are fired. Moving on.
Hey, by the way, coming up in about 9 minutes, Shock Therapy Live. Pastor Nate Heitzik will be taking over.
I can't wait to hear the intro.
Did you get that intro? You're so fired.
This was, you said you were the producer.
I did? Are you kidding me? You're going to throw this on me?
I was going to write it.
What?
I was going
to
write it.
I remember you talking to Daniel saying, how long does it take to get the voice guy to voice our intro?
And he said like 3 to 4 days.
He said like 1 to 2 days.
Nah, I said like 7 to 10 business days.
Yeah, that was last week. Yeah.
Few weeks.
Good job. Good job with that. Yeah. Well, if I was going to produce it,
we'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live.
Well.
I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Okay.
No. We'll do it live! Yeah. Thanks, man. I never knew that was Bill O'Reilly. A graduating senior didn't want to give back her cheerleading uniform. So she did something interesting. By the way, this comes from El Paso, Texas. Listeners down there, shout out to y'all in El Paso, specifically beautiful. Ray and his brother Roy.
It's not so beautiful this time of year.
Ray. Riri. It can be so hard to let go of your high school glory days. Let's be real. Dex talks about his stupid basketball career every day.
Well, I mean,
18-year-old Gina Nicole from El Paso. She's graduating next month, and since she's moving on, she had to return her cheerleading uniforms. But she didn't want to. And is her cheerleading uniforms? Back on the 15th of last month, Gina called the cops to report that someone had broken into her house.
Oh, gosh.
And specifically stolen her cheerleading uniforms. That's it. They didn't take anything else. They literally left the entire house intact except her cheerleading uniforms.
They're beautiful cheerleading uniforms. Brand new. Beautiful.
Well, the cops investigated, and a few days later, they figured out what happened. Gina loves cheerleading. And she really didn't want to say goodbye to her uniform and give them back. So she hid them and made up the burglary.
Oh, my gosh.
Slight problem Gina. With that. Slight problem with that. You can't make a false report.
No.
So she was arrested.
Oh, yeah.
And is looking at
6
months in jail.
18, you're an adult now. It's
along with
time.
A $2,000 fine.
Hard time right there.
Hey, man, I remember high school.
High school is such a serious thing. These problems matter.
Oh, man.
I had something and it doesn't even matter because I just won. Oh, man, moving on. Moving
on. We got time for one more.
Scandal, your favorite show on television.
Nope, never seen it.
You love Kerry Washington. Don't lie to me.
I did start it, but I never, I think I watched 2 episodes.
Well, here's the deal, man. If you're a Scandal fan, rumor has it, it's coming to an end after next season.
High school is such a serious thing. These problems matter.
What happened there? What? What the heck? How did that happen?
It will be Scandal's 7th season.
Wow.
Allegedly, the show's creator, Shonda Rhimes, made the call and ABC went along with it because they didn't want to drag it out. Okay.
We got time for one more.
But you just said that.
Okay. Yeah, well, that was a short one.
A guy in China swallowed 2 ballpoint pens after he lost a bet when he was 14 years old. Why, I remember making bets when I was 14 years old.
What kind of bet did you make?
Oh, man. Well, it was the first year of
high school is such a serious thing. These problems matter.
He swallowed 2 ballpoint pens.
He swallowed 2 ballpoint pens after he lost a bet when he was 14. And then he forgot he had done that.
What?
And just had them removed 36 years later.
Show me the x-ray. Where's... Oh, there it
oh,
is.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. The x-ray is incredible.
Yeah. X-ray's got two pins in there.
Yep.
Just kicking it.
They're just side by side right there. Yeah, I see him.
Oddly enough, this happened in China, and I'm not even being funny. It looks like he's got a pair of chopsticks in his stomach.
Google it.
What? Your stomach didn't come equipped with chopsticks? Mine did.
Oh, man.
Well, that was cool. It's been fun, man.
Yeah, we're out.
And if you thought that was offensive, Pastor Nate Heisig's coming up next.
Oh, man. Shock Therapy Live is back, everybody. If you have any questions, 505-585-LIVE, or you can email us, studio@star88.fm. A few of you have already sent in questions, so we're going to tackle some of those. Again, just a little warning. If you have children, maybe some kids out there homeschooled, parents, we're going to tackle some very mature subject matter. So maybe this is the opportunity to sit down with your kids and listen to Shock Therapy Live with them and have that conversation. So we'll be joined by Pastor Nate Heitzik and Shock Therapy Live. We'll be kicking off next. That's Lael, big or smaller. It's Star 88. Good morning. Dex and Steve-O, 907.
High today of 75 degrees. Traffic. Taking a look at the roads. Let's see. No ice sensor. Everything's looking pretty good.
Everything's looking pretty good over there.
Looking pretty good.
Pretty good.
Thankfully, the roads are clear on Montaño. On Montaño, because that's the road that Nate's currently driving on.
Nate Heitzik, are you kidding me? Is that for real? He's on the road? We're kicking off Shock Therapy Live and he's on the road?
That's okay, man!
Well, it's kind of unprofessional.
Guerrilla radio, that's how we do. What? unprofessional? When have we ever been professional about anything?
Every morning?
Okay.
Unbelievable. That's fine. If you could stop and get me a, something to eat, that'd be great, Nate. Appreciate it.
Wait, what? No. Hungry. There's nowhere to stop to get food on Montaño.
Okay. Think All right, Shock that. Therapy Live will kick off here in just a
Actually,
minute.
There's that Dunkin' Donuts right over there.
Oh.
Some Boston cream.
Good call. Just good call.
Do wonders.
Yes.
Do wonders.
Are you done?
That's your look at traffic. This traffic update brought to you by Bear Canyon CrossFit, located at 9533 Osuna, Suite B, BearCanyonCrossFit.com, or 505-293-2101. That's 505-293-2101. Thanks again to Bear Canyon CrossFit for this traffic update.
I'm live on Instagram right now.
You are.
Just shout outs real quick to our boy Johnny, Floating Arrow. Ooh, Anonymous is joined us.
Wait, what? You can join anonymously?
Yeah, no, he's That's anonymous. That's creepy. Scone and Gary. Gary! Gary is one of my favorite people ever in the universe. I miss you, Gary.
Huh.
Yeah, so you can watch us live on Instagram. If you go to Dex Toth, I'm live right now on Instagram. And, yeah, maybe you have questions, you can chime in, because Shock Therapy Live will be kicking off here in a little bit. What are we going to be talking about in Shock Therapy Live? Give us some tease. Give us some teases.
I mean, do you want me to go into it?
Yeah, well, I mean, just tease it.
Okay. We got an email this morning about a dude whose wife decided to leave the marriage because she met a girl. So she's got a girlfriend. Got divorced and moved in with her girlfriend, and last week informed her now ex-husband that she's pregnant. Obviously it's his because, well, I mean, science. And so there's a situation happening right now with this child, this mom. I mean, that's going to be a big one. We've got, that's the tease, if you will. There's a lot more to it. Oh, yeah.
Nate just joined me on the Instagram live.
Oh, good. While he's driving?
Yeah. Well,
that's impossible.
Yeah. Thanks for joining me, Nate, on Instagram. Yeah. Appreciate that.
So we also got one wanting to know about sex in marriage. Are there boundaries? What's taboo? What's off limits in the marriage bed? Is there such a thing? We'll talk about that.
And if The Rock is going to be the next president of the United States, that's a hot topic right now in the news.
Yeah, that is actually a hot topic in the news right now. So we may talk about that. And that's your look at Shock Therapy Live.
Okay. As soon as Nate gets here, we'll
kick
it off.
Coming up about 9:30, we'll be kicking off our 30-minute program.
About 9:30, we'll kick off
Shock Therapy. About 9:27.
Okay. Yep.
About 9:18.
Well, good. That gives us time to talk about The Rock situation.
Let's talk about this.
Get a chance to talk about this morning. There is a real possibility that Dwayne The Rock Johnson will run for president.
I can't believe this is real.
Yeah, this is for real. Because I remember it was a while back, he had kind of thrown it out there that this would, yeah, everybody thought he was kind of joking. But in the new issue of GQ, he says it's a real possibility he could run someday. He's registered as an independent, and he refused to endorse either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton last year, even though they both asked for his blessing. He said, quote, "I feel like I'm in a position now where I'm where my word carries a lot of weight and influence, which of course is why they want the endorsement. But it might sway an opinion, which I didn't want to do." He was asked how he thinks Trump is doing. He's pretty diplomatic, but he does say, quote, "I'd like to see a better leadership. I'd like to see a greater leadership." And he also says he's completely disagrees with Trump's travel ban. Here's another interesting fact about The Rock. He's black on his father's side and Samoan on his mother's. In the last census, the number of Americans who claimed that ethnicity was 50,308, which is just above 0% of the population. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So this is a real thing, guys. The Rock, he might be running for president. And I'm not saying I would vote for him, but I might.
You have to know his policies, man. You can't just say
he's the Rock.
Oh my god.
I follow him on Instagram.
Yeah, but
I like everything he does on Instagram, so I'm just saying.
Who's the VP?
John Cena, man.
John Cena would be the president.
No.
John Cena's cooler.
No. No, take it back. John Cena is not cooler than The Rock. That is not
true. In fact, a lot of people think that that's where John Cena got his persona, was basically doing the same thing the Rock did.
Really?
Yeah. But I disagree. I think they're different. The Rock, I don't know. I mean, did you mention the idea with President Trump or Hillary, where they were, like, everybody wants his support.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. You want those big celebrities to endorse you.
Right. And he wasn't willing to endorse either.
Which I think is great.
Yeah.
I like that.
He didn't want to put a stamp of approval on either because he didn't agree with policies on either side for certain things. And so he is a very intelligent person, very intelligent businessman and an entertainer. But I don't know. Are we getting to a place where celebrity culture is going to win out? Where Kanye's going to run and The Rock's going to run and all these people are going to run?
Honestly,
and
I think that's what's going to happen. We're going to see in the next election, we're going to see, I think, probably not a bunch, but I think we're going to see a few different celebrities throw their name in the hat. So speaking of that, I found this, a list of celebrities who've run for office in the past.
Nice.
Clint Eastwood.
Oh, yeah.
He ran for mayor of Carmel, California in 1986, won with almost 73% of the vote. He basically only ran so he could put up a building the town council had rejected, and he got his way. But he didn't bother for the reelection. Al Franken, he went from Saturday Night Live to the Capitol. He's been a U.S. senator from Minnesota since 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Clay Aiken, he ran for a House seat in 2014 but lost.
Well, we know Jesse the Body Ventura.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he Minnesota shocked governor. The world when he became governor of Minnesota. Wyclef Jean, he filed paperwork to run for president of Haiti in 2010.
Yep, I remember that.
His bid was rejected.
One time.
Jerry Springer. Jerry was actually a politician before he was a celebrity. He ran for Congress in 1970 and lost, but he served as mayor of Cincinnati from 1977 to 1978. So this happens a lot. Shaquille O'Neal recently announced his intention to run for sheriff of, I don't know, somewhere in 2020. So I think now that Donald Trump has shown that, hey, if I can do it, I think all these other celebrities like The Rock are going, well, if that guy can get in.
But that doesn't... I'm about to say something, and obviously it's so far happening with President Trump, but that doesn't qualify them. Do you know what I mean? Just because they're a celebrity and they've got a following and does that qualify them?
I think that's their mindset, though. Yeah. I mean, a lot of celebrities, from what I've heard, they don't like Trump. They've never liked Trump. And their attitude is, if this guy can get in, there's no way I couldn't win if I ran.
What's going to be interesting is to see all these celebrities make an attempt at this. And if they fail, it really does just go to show what a feat it was with President Trump.
Right.
Because you're right. Because everybody's like, well, if he could do it, anybody can. Maybe that's not the case.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. We live in such an interesting time. Do not tell me you're going to vote for The Rock, though, just because he's The Rock.
I'm voting for The Rock.
I want to know why. Like, I want to know where he stands. What's his platform?
Well, I mean, whatever he wants, man.
Man.
Whatever he wants to cook up, I'm with it.
I can't just vote for him on a whim, man. You're, like, trying to make me decide now. It's too early. You're putting me between The Rock and a hard place.
He's a registered independent, which... I mean, that's all the information I have on the guy. I don't know. I don't know where he stands, man. But he's a good American, all right? He's a great American.
Hulk Hogan always said he was a real American. and they'd fight for the rights of every man. And
that's true.
And then he went and became Hollywood Hogan and betrayed everyone and went to a dumb company.
You all right?
No.
Okay. So that's the latest on The Rock.
Thanks, man.
Might run for office.
I'd vote for Chris Pratt.
Yeah, well.
I'm going to vote for Chris Pratt. I'm going to do a write-in for Chris Pratt.
Why not? Not going to happen.
I want Star-Lord to be my president.
Not going to happen. All right, how about this? If you could pick a celebrity right now to be the next president, who would it be?
A member of the Starmy actually chimed in and said Leo DiCaprio. I actually think he would do a great job, and I hope he runs.
Okay, yeah. I saw him out there picketing. He was doing something with a sign. He was hanging out with everybody. Yeah. I can't remember what it was for, but...
It was probably
global
for...
Global warming, I was think,
just
yeah.
I was literally just about to say that.
Global warming.
Yeah. Somebody said that they would vote for The Rock because they can smell what The Rock is cooking.
Someone said, Steve-O for president.
No, stop it.
I don't want that.
Somebody else said, voting for The Rock because of his muscles. I just want to be, like, speaker. I want to be the... I want to take over, man. The press secretary.
We've
got
already
that
discussed
job
this.
Down.
No, you don't. You
just talking about that last night because Congressman Pierce says I would do a fantastic job, and if he's going to run for governor, I'm just going to start taking over, man. I'm just going to be like, "Hey, we're doing this. We're going for it." I could be there. I could cover for people when they're MIA.
Oh, look who's here, guys. Finally, Nate Heitzig decides to join us for Shock Therapy Live.
Amazing.
Unbelievable.
Liveline's going crazy. Somebody said, I'm actually scared for politics now because of the Hillary versus Trump election. It created the perfect storm for people to just start voting for anyone. And now our politics will become a joke.
Dude, it really is scary.
Yep.
Would you and literally,
do you hear us talking about this?
No,
the
I did.
Rock is really
no,
like...
No, and it's so funny because even how you said, well, I follow him on Instagram. That was like, that was President Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
I follow him on Instagram, and, you know, I like what he, you know, it's just, it's crazy.
You sound like you're out of breath, buddy.
A little bit.
All right.
Okay, so, Steve-O, you texted me at what time? 9:07?
Yeah, something like that.
Do you know where I was when you texted me? I was in the bathtub.
Are you serious? You were taking a bubble bath?
Not a bubble bath, just a non-bubbly bath, a regular bath.
Dude.
That is hilarious.
The best part is I was like, I'm not going to text him because Dex was like, what if he doesn't show? He's not here. And I said, nah.
No, he'll be here.
He'll be here. He used to do this all the time. He'd pop in like right at 9. I'd play the intro and he's coming in with coffee. Don't worry. We're
so
good.
So I feel like the first, when we started Shock Therapy Live back up, when we changed it to a morning, because remember it was nighttime, we changed it to morning. I feel like the same thing happened.
Yeah.
Like this for the first like 3 weeks. And then once I finally showed up for the first time on time, it was like, okay, now I'm good.
Don't you have people that take care of that for you?
No. I mean, again, my life has lived on my schedule and somehow it wasn't on my schedule again. So I was driving in this morning, I put it on my schedule and I deleted something else that was at 9:30. Cause basically when I used to have a meeting at 9:30. And so I'd always think, okay, I'm good. I don't have to get there till 9:30. And, yeah, that's why I'm here at 9:21.
We don't need excuses. I mean, it's okay.
There are no good excuses.
Can I play the intro? Can we kick this off?
Yes!
Okay, let's do this.
Welcome to Shock Therapy Live
this
with Pastor
terrible.
Nate Heitzig. It's time to get real, so text US now at 505-585-LIVE.
Welcome to Shock Therapy Live, everybody.
Now that I feel emasculated... I've got a question now.
Uh-huh, yeah.
My question is, why are you so terrible?
Did she say Shock Therapy Live?
Yeah, Shock Therapy Live. Text US
how
now.
How much time of God's money did it take you to make that fake intro?
Well, I mean, it took a lot of time and, you know, a few bucks. I mean, I had to sign up and it was a text-to-speech thing. It was great.
Yeah. Did you actually use a text to speech?
I did. Because guess what? This guy over here didn't produce an intro for
me. Oh, no! I was never supposed to. I was writing it and he was going to produce it.
Okay.
Dex, what's on your teeth? Yeah. What's on your teeth?
Oh, gum. Sorry.
Oh.
You have gum?
Yeah, gum. I
wish I had.
You do that while you're talking? Like, stick it to your.
Yeah. Huh.
It looked like you had like a really bad dentist.
Oh.
Like they instead of like giving you like fake veneers, they just gave you one giant fake like messed up veneer. Like, hey, this'll do. Poop. Yeah. Put that up. It's like a Lego.
My bad.
Pop it up there.
Got to stuff it up in the cheek there. Yeah. All right. So if you don't know what Shock Therapy Live is,
yeah,
you guys used to do this back in the day. It's an hour show, and it's really just discussing things that people are usually uncomfortable talking about.
Yeah, an intro would have explained that.
I know.
Okay.
Well, we don't have an intro, but we have questions. I mean, we have some pretty deep questions this morning.
Yeah.
So I think we should jump right in because one of these might take up the rest of the hour.
Yeah, you know, I think one thing I just want to make clear, Shock Therapy Live, if you're driving in the car with your kids, probably not a kid-appropriate show. Unless you want your kids to hear some of these topics. You know, we've always said, Steve and I, when we used to do the show, that if there's any place to hear these things, it's from a Christian perspective.
Yeah.
Because your kids at school are going to hear this from their friends. And we talk about some pretty serious subjects. We're going to talk about sex, homosexuality, drug abuse, stem cell research. I mean, we talk about a wide array of things, suicide, cutting. Yep. So if these are topics you don't feel comfortable having your kids hear about, then it's probably best to, you know, change the channel for a little bit, but we always say put away the theology books and pull out your diaries. We want to hear about real life stuff. What are you going through? What's happening in your life? We believe the Bible has answers to all the questions in life. And so we really want to have a real dialogue here. And the best way that's done isn't through text message, isn't through Facebook. The best way that's done is face to face through a telephone, but so we can hear you, talk to you, hear your story, ask you questions, clarify. So we always want to encourage the listeners to call, and I think that's one of the best ways that we can really get to the heart of the situation. So.
Absolutely.
Do people even know your number anymore? Because like,
oh man, the
no
phones blew up
anymore.
This morning.
Did they?
Yeah, for some weird reason.
Yeah,
we were talking about mom phrases, and the phones blew up. It's crazy.
And we always say this too. We'll always take the phone call questions first before we take anything else. So you can email us questions. You can put questions on Facebook, but we'll always take the phone call questions first because we can get the best information.
We also know, obviously, being that we are talking about sensitive things, sometimes if you just want to keep it anonymous.
Yeah.
We didn't have a text line before, so this is going to be really interesting for – because we've gotten some already. The first one we actually got last week that we teased and we thought we would talk about it this week is the idea of the marriage bed and sex in marriage. The question, I believe, was, is kinky sex okay? And then they clarified with, if the husband and wife are consenting on everything, is anything off limits?
Yeah. Now, again, I think we even had a little clarifying question if that anything off limits. Like, what does that mean? Does that mean between the partners, or where does that extend to?
Right.
So obviously, you know, we know the Bible says that the marriage bed is undefiled, but unfortunately, we don't get a whole lot of clarifying idea of what that means. What does the marriage bed consist of? And I've heard pastors really approach this in many different ways. I remember one time I heard of a couple who went into a pastor and were asking the pastor, and I'm not like saying this like, I heard of this couple, it's really me. No, I didn't ask this question. But I heard of a couple going into a pastor and asking the question, hey, it says the marriage bed is undefiled. Does that mean we can do anything? Does that mean oral sex is okay? Does that mean that, anal sex is okay? Does that mean that, and really just a wide gamut of sexual activity. And I've heard it go both ways. I've heard some pastors say, yeah, it's totally okay as long as both partners are consenting. And then I've heard other pastors say, no, unless you can procreate through the sexual act, it's not okay.
Oh, wow.
Which, playing the devil's advocate, I would lean to that and say, if that's the case, then if you're going to go to that standpoint, then birth control and condoms aren't okay, because when you put that into a sexual act, you can no longer procreate through that.
Right.
So where I draw the line within the whole situation is when your partner's satisfying you rather than something else satisfying you. So where I would draw the line is pornography in a sexual relationship. Even if both partners are consenting of it, I would say that would be a line that I would draw, because the pornography at that point, you're relying on another body, another person to excite you, to stimulate you sexually, and you're not relying on your partner to do so. God created sex as a great thing, and he didn't just create sex to procreate. He made sex enjoyable between a husband and a wife. I mean, that's even why Paul said, if you're able to, you know, Paul remained celibate. He never got married. And he told younger men, if you're able to do that, then do it. But if you can't do it, well, why? Because these guys really just want to have kids? No, because these guys really want to have sex because it's enjoyable. It's pleasurable. So sex is meant to be pleasurable. It's meant to be enjoyable. And within the marriage confines, my belief is that as long as you're not relying on another person or another thing to stimulate you other than your partner,
yeah.
I think as long as you and your partner both agree on it, I think it's okay to explore that. And I think it's okay in the terms of the writer to get a little kinky.
The person chimed back in and wanted to clarify because they said they are definitely not talking pornography or toys or anything like that. They just want to know if both of us are consenting to positions. Is there anything wrong talking foreplay, oral, whatever? That's what they were talking about.
Yeah, I think all that, honestly, foreplay, oral. You know, we get into even using toys. I've heard some couples say, well, you know, we like to use toys within that. I think it's okay to spice that up. I think it's okay to let it get exciting.
Can you play Spice Girls?
No, oh, man, please.
Spice up your life.
Please don't play
Spice
that.
Up your life. Nope. Just took on a whole new
it's
meaning.
It's a serious conversation.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we've ever talked about this subject, have we, Steve?
No, we haven't. I got to take my hoodie off.
It's a little... I know. It's so uncomfortable in here right now.
Well, I just ran from my car, you know, so that doesn't make it easier.
Yeah. Locked in a room closet. People are like, man, he's breathing really heavy.
He must be really nervous about this.
Two dudes in a broom closet.
All right, I think we've covered that. Next.
It's so funny because we're talking about, like, we're bringing back Shock Therapy Live. Unshockable questions.
Yeah.
First question. I'm going to go.
All right. I think we're done with that.
What's making it weird is you're on Instagram Live. So you got a camera in our faces. We're talking about this, you weirdo.
Yeah. I'm on Instagram. So go to Dex Toth and you can watch us live. People love it.
Watch me. I mean, here's the reality within a whole sexual relationship as well. People are stimulated in different ways. I've known females who have been married, and they've been talking. You know, my wife counsels various different women, and I've known women who have been in relationships who have never had an orgasm in 5 years. They've been married and they have sex, and their husband is stimulated. Their husband orgasms, but the woman never does. They'll spend years and years and years in a marriage not orgasming, and primarily, I believe it's because they're not discussing what feels good for the partner. They're not discussing what stimulates the partner. And sex should be a dialogue. It shouldn't just be like, okay, let's turn off the lights. Let's just, you know, do this. There's only one way to do this. It's missionary style. Anything else is, you can't do that. It's unholy. You know, the reality is a woman and a man have different points of stimulation. You know, a woman, there's even when we talk about orgasms, there's many different ways that you can have an orgasm. And the one way that this is the only one way, this is the only way you have sex, that might not work. That might not work for everyone.
Right.
And it's supposed to be, I believe sex should be a mutually gratifying experience. And so even within my relationship, you know, there's times when I really want to have sex and I'll ask my wife and my first question is, well, hey, do you think it's going to be satisfying for you right now? If she says no, I don't want to have sex at that point because I want it to be mutually gratifying. I want both of us to be gratified. And I think if we don't have a discussion and a dialogue with our wife, with our husband about that, about stimulation, about, you know, what gets you excited, you know, for me, it's a total killjoy if I'm, you know, wanting to have sex with my wife, if she's not into it. And I can tell that. I can tell with her expression. I can tell with her desire. So I've told her before, hey, babe, you know, it's really exciting for me if you initiate it, if you tell me that you want it, that's really exciting for me. And so yeah. I think the discussion of what's exciting, what turns you on, what gets you going, what feels good. I think that's I think a lot of couples have sex and never ask during the act of sex, hey, what feels good to you? I think that's an important question to ask. And so I think it's okay within the confines of the marriage bed. It's okay to explore that space. It's okay to find out, hey, I've been doing this for the past 5 years. Maybe you don't like that. Maybe you don't like it when I, it really is awkward talking about these things because this is not like the, what's that, that, that sex talk show with Dr.
Loveline.
Loveline. This is not Loveline. But you know, does it maybe I've touched you in this place for the past 5 years and you don't like that. That actually turns you off. Or maybe you really wish that I would touch you here. And so these are all important questions and dialogues to have within the confines of the marriage bed. And so I think we need to be with our husbands and wife open about that, discussing that. And not shy to talk about that with our spouse.
Beautiful.
What do you think, Steve-O?
Beautiful.
I agree. High five.
High five?
That's good.
You're literally not even looking at us.
No, dude.
He's so red right now.
Do you ever have these discussions with your wife?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the privacy of our own home.
Now, here's the thing. Yeah. You know what? It's Shock Therapy Live. Whatever. Let's be real.
Dude, we're never going to have this awkward of an auction. Like this, we started it off right because it's like, man, talk about breaking the ice.
Everything else will just be like, it'll be lame compared
to the glaciers, global warming. We just melted the ice cap. Holy crap.
Pastor Nate Heitzig.
That's his new soundbite. Yeah, man. No, I agree with everything that you're saying because it can be something that can become contentious and you can become resentful if you don't have those conversations.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because if one person is satisfied, one person's not satisfied, and you don't have those open discussions, it can truly be a killer for your marriage. And sex isn't supposed to be that. I grew up in a space where I didn't wait, man. You know, like I was the explorative kid and I've done a lot in my life. And so when it came down to it, what sucks is I talked about this before years ago on Shock Therapy Live. When I got married, it still felt wrong because I'd been told my whole life that sex was bad. It wasn't like, it's a beautiful thing that you save for your wedding day and it's the most intimate thing and God created this for you guys. It was just like, it's bad. It's wrong. Don't do this. And so I had to deal with the guilt of that. And so I had to talk about it because we had to talk through some things because there's some crazy stigmas that come with sex, you know, and it's almost like this weird taboo thing because of the culture we grew up in church where it's like, you don't talk about it. You don't do that. So to tell somebody, hey, you got to talk to your spouse about this can be freeing, but it can also come off. It can be terrifying as well. Do you know what I mean? So no, I agree with everything.
And man, I think even in talking about it, don't have a guilt conversation with your spouse about that. Don't guilt your spouse into being weird and kinky with you. Again, it needs to be a mutual decision. I remember when Janae and I first got married on our honeymoon, I had all these unrealistic expectations about what sex would be like, partially because in high school I had an addiction to pornography. Mm-hmm. And so I had this false realization of what sex should be like because of pornography, because of Hollywood. And then also I had friends who were married and some of them had crazy sex life. So I remember at my bachelor party, you know, I had a couple married guys saying, well, you need this and you need this and you need this kind of lube and this kind of condom and you need these kind of things. And so I had this unrealistic expectation that, man, like, sexcapades, like this was going to be crazy. And so I remember I went and I brought on our honeymoon a couple like kinky board games thinking like, oh yeah, she's totally gonna want to play this on our honeymoon for like the first time we have sex. Like, hey, spin this wheel and let's try this position. Like that's what everyone does in marriage. So I had this unrealistic expectation about what it was. And the problem was I never had a conversation with my wife before that happened. So I put her in this awkward position saying, hey, do you want to play this board game? And she's like, sure, because she loved me and she wanted to make me happy.
Yeah. Right.
Not because she actually liked that. And I find out later on that actually freaked her out. She didn't want to do that. And so I think you need to have a conversation with your spouse instead of springing it on your spouse, like in the middle of lovemaking. Hey, you want to do this position?
Man.
And then when they say no, be like, oh, fine. And then all of a sudden you're angry and you're mad and they feel guilty for not wanting to do what you wanted to do. Yeah. So I think you need to have a real conversation about it. Don't guilt your spouse into doing one of those things. Again, it needs to be mutually consensual. Consensual. So I think you need to have this conversation and ask your spouse these questions and be really open about it. Hey, what pleases you? What do you like? What stimulates you? What turns you off entirely? If I ever ask you a question and that will just totally turn you off, tell me what that question is so I never ask that question. You know, have that conversation. Let it be real. Let it be honest. And again, have that transparency with your spouse about that.
on that, talking with your spouse, here's a question that's going to veer into a different direction, but it's a question that came in within this realm. So
he's like, Steve was like, get away from this. Yeah. Run, run, run,
no,
run.
No, I think next. We got it. I think we covered it. Because this, I think, is important.
No, I just want to talk about that only for the
only
next 30 minutes.
Only for the next 22 more minutes. So somebody said this. Here's a question for Nick.
I kind of don't like that Dex is filming me the whole time
I
was talking about
it's
that. It felt very it felt very like voyeuristic. Like we're talking about like sex stuff.
Media.
And look, Sibo, this is the face Dex is giving me the whole time I'm talking about sex stuff.
Right. I'm on Instagram right now, guys. It's a live feed.
Like,
you know?
I'm just waiting to hear him go.
Yeah, stop it.
I'm just creeped out.
No, come on.
Don't like it.
Okay.
Oh, man, we got a couple. These are all, gosh, phenomenal questions.
Yeah, by
because
the way, hey,
on this topic,
just,
we're getting
just
them in
real
here.
Quick, if yeah. you are just tuning in right now at Shock Therapy Live, and yeah. maybe you have kids that are listening, I know we have homeschoolers that listen, mom, dad, just be aware, we're talking about some pretty mature stuff.
Unless you're
this is why we need an intro. This is why we need the disclaimer.
The intro would have been 35 minutes ago.
Doesn't matter. At least we had it so when people call and say, you talked about it a lot.
No, people.
They can be like, hey, there was a disclaimer.
It's not 1987.
My disclaimer was pretty good.
Okay, moving on.
1987 was crazy.
Here's the deal, my bro. Do you think that it's God's directive to fight for every marriage or an American church directive? At what point do you give up on your spouse if they are continuing to turn away from God and live in sin?
Yeah, I think this isn't a cultural question. It's a biblical question.
Yeah.
And the answer to it is the minute that you're allowed to give up on your marriage is when your spouse has committed infidelity. And even then, it's not prescribed that, hey, your spouse commits infidelity. It's probably a good idea to get a divorce. That's the only point at which the Bible and God allow you to decide that you're going to get a divorce. Right. And the reason they do it is because, honestly, not because it's the unforgivable sin, but for a lot of couples, they can never get past that.
Yep.
We are called within a relationship to forgive our spouse no matter what. But God realized that infidelity is something that breaks trust and breaks that marriage intimacy to such a degree that there's some spouses who can never get past that. Yeah. And even though as a Christian and a believer, the husband or wife could say, yes, I forgive you for this, it could be something that they could forever hold over the other person's head, forever lord over the other person and say, well, remember 10 years ago, you committed adultery. And it could be something that they could, even though they could say in Christ, I forgive you, they could never get past it. They could never forget it. And they could never move on. Yeah. That at that point, God realized that within breaking that intimacy through infidelity, the best thing could be for certain couples to separate and to get a divorce. Now, I've seen a ton of couples who someone has committed infidelity and they stuck through it. They actually forgave one another and they have stronger marriages today because of it. So even in infidelity, when someone comes in and says, my spouse committed infidelity, I don't jump right to, oh, well, you know, you can get a divorce now.
Right.
That's not the answer.
Yeah.
So I think the only point at which the Bible gives us room to say, you know what, I'm giving up on this marriage is in infidelity. There's not another, you know, I wish I could say, you know, well, if your spouse is doing this, they get addicted to drugs, they do this. Now, I think there's grounds for separation, for temporary separation within a marriage. We've talked about this before in Shock Therapy Live. You know, you're in an abusive relationship. God doesn't call you to remain in that abusive relationship just because your husband hasn't committed adultery on you.
Right.
There is grounds for biblical separation, to separate for a time, to get to a place where you realize, hey, you know what? This relationship is dangerous for the safety of my family, for the safety of my kids, for the safety of myself. I'm going to separate for a time. And I'm going to go through a process of biblical restoration within this relationship, within this marriage. But as far as divorce, the only way you can really call it quits on a marriage again is infidelity.
Okay.
What are your thoughts?
No, I mean, looking at the grand scope, looking at the question, I hear the frustration in the question, to be honest, because
yeah.
I think it's something that in our culture, we see so many broken marriages.
Yeah.
We see so many people fighting for so many years. For whatever reason, because it's, quote, the right thing to do, because the Bible says. And sadly, I know both sides. I know both ways where it has been restored and the marriage is phenomenal. But I know other people who are living in a place where there's guilt, there's shame, or on the flip side, there is bitterness, unforgiveness, and you got to fight through because the church says this, or because of the kids or because of, so I can hear that because we get so many questions and so many emails in that, I understand the frustration of thinking that it's not necessarily God's directive, that maybe this is an American church cultural thing where it's like, period, the end. But the Bible's pretty clear.
Yeah.
The Bible's clear. That-
and I think, honestly, one of the, and by the way, I see we have a caller on the line. We're not ignoring you. We're gonna answer your call in just 1 second, so please stay on the line.
Yeah.
But I think that what I found is one of the primary problems within a marriage, like what this person's talking about, if it's not related to infidelity, is husbands and wives not fulfilling their God-given roles within a marriage. I think men need to learn how to be men in a relationship. I think too many men are emasculated men in relationships today, and they aren't leading their wife. They're not leading their family. They're just kind of passively partnering with their wife. And men are called to lead their families. And that means, you know, I'm gonna be honest, it's a balancing act. When I first got married, I was not a good leader in my family. I ran away from conflict. My wife, you know, came from a very hot-blooded family. When she would get mad and yell at me, I would just retreat. I'd be like, I just want to hide the problem. I don't want to deal with the problem. And I had to come to a place in my marriage where I started leading my family, where if my wife, you know, talked to me in a certain way, I'd let her know, you can't talk to me like that. We have to have a conversation about this. And I began to learn how to lead my wife. My wife also had to go through a process where she had to learn how to, as a wife, submit to her husband. And again, we use these terms because this is what the Bible talks about. Now, submitting to your husband doesn't mean like, okay, you got to go like full Muslim and like allow your husband to do whatever he wants and you should wear a shawl. It doesn't mean submitting to your husband doesn't mean what we think it means today.
Right.
You know, the marriage, when it's functioning the way that it should, when the husband is loving the wife as Christ loved the church, which means that he puts the wife above himself, he's trying to make decisions for the husband and the wife that the wife feels gratified, that as she submits to the love of the husband, she isn't feeling like her needs and her wants are vanishing and disappearing, but her needs and her wants are being met and fulfilled by her husband who loves her as Christ loved the church. And so it's easy for her to submit to the relationship. It's easy for her to submit to her husband because she trusts that the husband loves her and that the husband wants the best for her.
Right.
And I think when that relationship is functioning the way it's supposed to.
Yeah.
And so I think what happens in a lot of relationships is something goes askew. Either the husband or the wife isn't fulfilling the role that God has called them to do, and they don't know the right way to remedy it. So it turns into just a, well, if she would do this and if he would do this, then I would do this. And it's such a dangerous place to be in. I've always said that, you know, when I do a lot of weddings, I say, if you want the best relationship that you can, wake up every single day and find out how you can outlove one another, how you can out-submit to one another. Husband, if you wake up every day and say, how can I be the best husband that God wants me to be? And wife, if you wake up every day and say, how can I be the best wife that God wants me to be? You're both going to get your needs met. And you're both going to also simultaneously have a great marriage. If we wake up each day trying to decide how can I meet my needs, then we're just become selfish people in a marriage and a relationship, and it's just going to fall apart.
We have so many people chiming in with like, and I know we got to get to the phone call, but somebody wanted to know because I mean, maybe they're going through this right now.
Yeah.
They said divorce with kids is a different issue though, right? Or would you consider it almost the same? I asked for clarification. They said this. Infidelity bringing your marriage to a divorce while having no kids versus infidelity bringing your marriage to a divorce while having kids. Is that a different issue?
Well, again, I think the issue still remains the same.
Yes.
Whether you're with kids or not with kids, if you feel like you can forgive your spouse, and when I say forgive, I mean truly forgive, that you're not going to hold it over them, you're not going to guilt them, you're not going to shame them for that for the rest of their lives, but you can truly forgive them, then it doesn't matter if there's kids or not.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to let you know, it's going to be more destructive to your kids if you remain married to somebody.
Dude, I'm
and
so
you spend
glad
the
you're
entire marriage shaming them. You spend the entire marriage in front of them saying, well, you did this, and your kids grow up knowing, oh man, daddy had an affair and mom hates him for it.
Yeah.
That's going to be more destructive to them than having a biblical divorce because there was infidelity. So I don't think it matters if you're with kids or not with kids. If you can forgive your spouse for the infidelity, and I mean truly forgive them, do it, whether there's kids or not.
Dude.
If you cannot forgive them and you're always going to hold it over them and you're always going to guilt them, then get a divorce, whether there's kids or not. Again, that's why there's the only situation there's biblical grounds for it, because it's in relation to the breach that's happened between the husband and the wife, not with the kids.
Yep. No, well, I mean, of course, I think a lot of times that's the first thing that's taken to account. Well, I'm here for the kids, and I'm just going to fight through for now, and then I'll bury this, and then when the kids are gone, you know, it'll probably come bubbling to the surface, but then we'll deal, or I'll get a divorce, or I'll whatever it is. And that, as you said, can be sometimes more damaging because your kids are freaking smart.
Yeah.
They're smart, and they see and they know, man. I grew up in a home where, sadly, my dad passed away when I was 6 years old, and my mom really wanted me to have a father figure. So she got married multiple times trying, and they were nightmarish, abusive situations.
Yeah.
And I would have rather just had my mom
yeah,
than have to see all of the pain that she endured for the sake of her children.
Or wait for your mom to find the right
yep.
husband, a yeah. godly husband,
amen.
Who could have raised you
yep.
in a godly way
yeah.
and been a father figure. Because, I mean, you even talk about that. If you get a divorce in this relationship where there's been infidelity, and then you wait for the right person to come along,
yep.
talk about a redemption story that your kids can truly understand that we are adopted into Christ's family
yeah,
and by a loving father. You know, I've got a good friend of mine who's in ministry, and he married a lady whose husband had cheated on her, and he went through a process of adopting her kids.
Oh.
And there was a day when they stood before court and they were able to say, legally today, you're no longer this person. You're now a new person. This is
That's
your
cool.
name. Legally.
Yeah.
It says, and they said, literally, it's as though you were born to him.
Yeah.
And I mean, talk about a story of redemption.
Yeah.
So I think but again, the ideal within this whole situation, the ideal situation is that you're able to forgive your spouse.
Right.
If that's possible, don't take the kids out of the equation in your mind. If it's possible to forgive, then do it. Because I got to tell you, I've seen so many couples who have done that, and their marriage is better today than they ever thought it could be. Better than it was before the infidelity. It's better today than they ever imagined.
It's Shock Therapy Live with Pastor Nate Heitzik, and we have about 8 minutes left. 338-3700.
Gosh, it goes. I'm so bummed I missed the first part.
We have two big questions still.
Hey, and we still have a phone call. I really want to get that phone call before we end the show today.
Totally.
Are you still there? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. It's Booty.
Hey, Booty!
What an emotional whiplash roller coaster that was. I called when you were talking about Rock the President.
Hey, oh, wow. You were
on the You've been on for a while.
But here's the thing, okay, so I was going to say, have you ever seen that movie Idiocracy?
Yeah.
And that was going to be my comment, but now I've been on the line listening to this, and it actually raised a question in my mind about the role of a man in a household. And I'll tell you from my personal experience, I completely relate with Steve-O. My dad was murdered when I was 4, and I had no grandfathers, I had no uncles, I didn't even have any male cousins in my life. I was raised by nothing but females. So growing up, you know, there was a certain person that I felt I had to be as a man, you know, always around my aunties and my female cousins, my mom, and listening to what their expectation of a man was. So I don't know. I feel like I grew up shaped in that way, but now I'm the man I am today, a husband and a father, and I don't feel like a man. Like, I don't feel like I'm doing my duties like I should be, right?
Mm.
So how does somebody like that reprogram or subject themselves into something where they could become more, and I hate using the word like manning up and man,
oh, dude,
you know,
trust
I feel
me.
Man, like, but
it's got to be a how-to YouTube video or something.
Shut up.
I mean, can we start a club? Can we start the
Booty,
the
here's the deal.
And we all go out to the woods and chop wood for
man, like
dude, it means different things, though, because I'll preach on this. I hate it, which is hilarious because earlier you said that we have to man up. I hate it. I hate that term in certain regards because growing up fatherless, I am in your same boat, man. The only men, quote unquote, that were in my life were physically abusive, were emotionally abusive. And so I never had that. So when I became a father, I freaked because I didn't have, at least I thought at that time, a roadmap or a how-to of what it means to be a father. And it took me realizing, because you hear this in church growing up, and for those that are fatherless, it just makes you mad. that God is your father in heaven, and that's all you need, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, I need a dude to go to my baseball games. I need a dude to hug me, and I need a dude to pick me up when I fall down. And there was no one there for that. And so I was jaded and angry, but I will tell you that it took God touching my heart and realizing that just because I was resentful to that doesn't change the fact that he truly is my father. And we have the best roadmap on the planet in God's word, because I have seen the grace poured out upon my life by my heavenly father, because I was a bad kid. I almost cussed. I was a jerk. I was a dummy.
But I still think that doesn't necessarily help, to his question, help us learn how to be better husbands.
I think it
you
does,
know, Heavenly
man.
Father, because I think even we talk about this idea of manning up, and I do think there's a reality. I think in our day and age, there are too many men in marriages who are emasculated, and I see it. Their wives walk on them. Their wives demean them. They tell their wives they want to do something, and the wives just flat out say no. And so there's too many men that are emasculated in marriage because their wives are not submissive, and because the wives don't understand the role that they're in either. And so I do think to a certain level within our day and age, men need to man up and be the leaders that God meant them to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard thing to do.
But that doesn't mean chopping wood in the forest, bro.
No, it doesn't. Again, men in this day and age are not men. You know, my wife always talks about, hey, you know, it's not very fair that the curse that you guys got was toiling in the field. But nowadays, with jobs, you're not toiling in the field. You're going to a job that you love. And I've still got to bleed once a month, and I've still got to make babies. And so, you know, but it is. Men are different today than they are before. But I still think we need to take the role and the mantle of leader seriously that God is entitled to us and that God has given to us. Right. Now, I think personally, the best way that you can learn how to be a man in a relationship is by your wife. And what I mean by that is the way that I've learned the best to lead my family is in the times when I've messed up and my wife has remained submissive to me through that, that has emboldened me within my role as a leader within the relationship. And so honestly, I think one of the best ways that men can learn to be leaders is for their wives to get counseling from older women on how to be submissive wives. And I think vice versa, the best way that wives can learn to be submissive wives in a relationship is for men to get counsel from older men in their life of how to be leaders in the relationship. Because I truly believe that when a man fulfills the role that God has called him to be, the wife wants to submit to the husband. And I also agree that when a wife fulfills the role that God wants her to live in and she is submissive, the husband wants to lead the wife. Think about it. When you have it goes into the realm of anything. If you have a stubborn wife who doesn't want to submit, who doesn't want to be led, you don't want to lead because you're like, man, this is just too hard. And vice versa. When you have an angry husband who doesn't love, who's mad all the time, and might be a passive husband who doesn't want to lead, the wife doesn't want to be led by that because the wife looks at that and says, I don't want to be led by that because that's not the kind of man that I want to follow. And so I truly believe the best way that we can teach our spouse the godly way they're supposed to be is being the godly version that God has called us to be. You want your wife to be submissive? Be a godly, loving leader in your relationship. Wives, you want your husband to be a good leader and love you? Be a submissive, loving wife that God has called you to be. And I really believe that.
Beautiful. We got about a minute left. Booty, thank you for calling, man.
Hey. Thank you, guys.
All right, man.
Dude, look, we got another call on hold. Man, Shock Therapy Live is like going off, man.
It's back in full effect, everyone.
The live line, there were so many things we didn't have a chance to get to. Dang
hey,
it!
Honestly, please email us in your questions. I remember when we had Shock Therapy Live before, we had a whole backlog of tons of different questions that we could get to. But as always, we had the phone calls. The lines were jammed today. Call us next week. I will be here on time, I promise. We'll have a full hour. It's fun, man. I'm stoked. This is going to be good.
Hold on, let me hit this.
That was Pastor Nate Heitzig with Shock Therapy Live. We will see you next week for another episode of Shock Therapy Live.
Online, accurate, and free.
You talked over it. We were recording that for the outro.
Free.
It was our intro and outro. Come on, man.
Oh, man.
Thank
you. We have like 20 seconds, and I'm going to say this real quick. Somebody said, is it better to marry than to burn with passion? As scriptures say, if I cannot be abstinent, do I rush into marriage? And I'm telling you right now, no, you do not.
No.
That's seriously, I'm sorry we didn't get to your question, but do not. I don't care if she's your best friend and you're like, but I want to do it.
Yeah, again.
Do not rush into a marriage.
Call in next week and let's have a discussion about that. What does, some people are scared and they're like, man, I've been dating this girl for 1 year. Should I rush into marriage? Hey, that's not rushing into marriage. You've been dating for a while. So let's have a conversation about that next week.
Yep.
Don't take that as Steve-O saying, hey, I'm not going to rush into marriage. I'm going to go find someone to have sex today. I'm not going to burn my passion anymore. That's not the answer either. Call in next week and we'll talk about it.
There you go.
This is all on demand here in a little bit. Go to star88.fm. You can get the podcast there or at the app. Go download the free app. We'll see you tomorrow.
That's all we got. There ain't no more.
That's right.
Time is tight. It's the end of the show.